much about. So easy.
You got to put it in perspective.
All right, let's get started. Everybody, how about those Seattle Seahawks in the 12th man that traveled all the way to MetLife Stadium?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Seattle has scored in this game with a touchdown pass, a touchdown run, interception return, a kickoff return for a touchdown, a field goal, and a safety. Any way you can put up points, they've done.
They've won every phase of this football game. You know, they've won at every position in this football game. I can't think of one Denver Bronco offensively or defensively that's won his matchup.
15 seconds away officially. And the first world championship in franchise history as they win it here at MetLife Stadium. 43 to 8. The Seahawks are world champs.
And now.
What you gotta say now, bitch? What you gotta say now? You ain't got shit to say, motherfucker. What you gotta say, bitch?
Our feature presentation.
But at least it was close.
Oh, the Seahawks just scored again. Damn it.
Screwed up my Super Bowl pool. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 3rd of February.
So, guys.
Yeah.
Yes. Kevin, who rooted against me. Ralph, who rooted against me. Beer Mug, who put money against the Seahawks.
This is This might surprise you, but you weren't in the factoring. So we weren't really betting against you
factoring
as much as we had people that we like, or in my case, I had somebody that I know that worked for a long time with the Denver Broncos. So mm-hmm. I always sort of liked them.
Okay.
So it didn't really come down just to anti-Bean sentiment, although that would have been enough.
Like I said on Thursday or Friday, if the Cardinals had been, I certainly would have rooted for you. I would have rooted for them to make you happy.
Okay.
Same thing with Ralph's Eagles.
Okay. All right. Good enough.
What'd you think of the game? What time did you check out?
At 2-0? Did you go, well, it's over? I couldn't have laughed louder at that first snap. I mean, that was, it's not just that he couldn't hear and it was off count, because it would have still hit Peyton Manning.
Right.
The ball, it was like he was a long snapper for a punter. The ball went sailing over his head. It was comical.
It was something you would see in Pee Wee football.
Yes.
It was the kind of thing that happens to kids who are uncoordinated and learning the game at 11.
It was comical how bad that was.
Yeah, you don't see that very often.
But then they go up 2-0, and they kick a field goal. They go up 5-0, they kick another field goal, and you're like, they scored 3 times, and it's only 8 points.
I know.
Denver always does this, where they fall behind in the first half, and they come back in the second half. Not against Seattle's defense.
And then it was 15-0, and then 22-0, and then you go, well, they're going to reset at halftime. I mean, look, the Broncos are a great team. That's how they got to the Super Bowl. They got the most explosive offense. I mean, earlier in the season, they were scoring 40 a game. So clearly, they're going to figure this out at halftime, and they're going to come back out. And then it's going to be a whole new ball game. And look out, is it going to get close? Like the Broncos came back against the Chargers earlier this season. Remember,
right.
They came back 24 or something like that. And then the kickoff return. Percy Harvin runs, 87 yards to score a touchdown 12 seconds into the second half. Now it's 29-0.
Why don't I know Percy Harvin? I'm not familiar with him.
Because he's the guy who's been hurt. He only played 2 games all season long. Both games he played this year. We got him from Minnesota in the offseason. Both games he played this year, he left both games hurt.
Oh, well, okay then.
In the New Orleans playoff game, he got a concussion and left and didn't play in the San Francisco game. So, yeah, that's probably where you would have seen him again had he been healthy. But
That
dude can run, yeah. I mean, somebody said in one of the pregame shows, they said, they paid a lot of money for Percy Harvin. They got very little out of him, but it may still be worth it with whatever he's able to bring today because he's that good.
Wow.
And that turned out to be true. So it was, I was starting to feel bad for Peyton Manning because I have nothing but respect for him because he's, you know, you can't say a single bad thing about Peyton Manning except he had a sucky day yesterday or maybe didn't get the help he needed. I mean, he's obviously one of the all-time greats. But I did feel bad for him, and I did feel bad that most of the country probably lost interest in the Super Bowl just after halftime. And
yeah.
you want a fun Super Bowl.
On that run back.
Yeah,
the first place.
Then it was over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lisa, how was your Super Bowl experience? You fast forward through all that boring football stuff?
I did. Excellent. I mean, I checked the score every once in a while. I watched a little bit of the halftime.
But somebody like you is not interested in the sport anyway. And if you see it's a blowout game,
I just go, oh, good for Bean.
Let's talk about Bruno. What'd you guys think?
Bruno Mars, I thought was great.
Yeah, he did a great job.
I really did. I thought he was great. I thought the Red Hot Chili Peppers were a weird mix.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did they add that much to his performance?
No, I think to me that seemed like, and this could be completely off base. To me, it seems like we picked Bruno Mars. Uh-oh, he's a little young. And now we're unsure. Let's add in one element to try and bring in an older audience.
Right.
That's what it felt
like. Classic rock
to me.
Band.
Yeah. But at least he's relevant to music today.
That's true.
Right, exactly.
That is what, to me, has been missing when you bring out, you know, the dead bodies of the Who or whatever happened before.
And even Bon Jovi and bands like that. Yeah, exactly. Whose best days are behind them. I agree. I'd like to see them do more contemporary stuff. I thought he was fine. I mean, maybe it's not fair. There's no reason to compare. But I thought I liked Beyonce better last year.
Well, Beyonce's always better. Than everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I watched and it was fine, but
it was fine.
I was kind of bored.
How about commercials, Lisa?
I love commercials.
Well, I think he's speaking specifically about yesterday.
The Volkswagen commercial was awesome.
Which one was that?
The Volkswagen commercial.
She doesn't.
Right.
I don't
but
know.
Which one was that?
She
had 50
commercials there. She didn't watch the commercials.
My friend tweeted that. I don't know. I didn't even bother with that.
Wait. Your friend tweeted that they liked the VW commercial, and
I thought I'd just go with it.
You didn't even have enough interest. You were just going to try and play it off like you watched it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Probably.
Yeah, that VW one. And the Budweiser one.
You guys know.
That was great.
Okay. All right. Well, this Super Bowl recap show has been brought to you from Lisa May, ladies and gentlemen.
My favorite commercial from the day was the dude with the bull.
Yes.
Because...
Mine too.
Chevy truck, right?
Yeah,
he's hauling a bull to a field of cows so that he can make sexy time.
Right, and I just thought, as far over the top as they go with the family portion of this particular thing, what a weird way to sell a truck.
That's a good point.
Yeah, these cows are about to get it on. This cow is gonna wreck them. Get a truck. I love that.
It was uncomfortably sexy watching those close-ups of that bull's face with him snorting and giving those cows the eye.
Yeah. He was going to give him the high hard one. That was happening.
I did not care for that, to tell you the truth. Look, I'm happy for him. He's got a great, 3 minutes ahead of him, but I do not need to see that.
I loved it. So anyway, that was my favorite
good
one.
Times.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
We're all quite popular.
I'm not sure I can stand behind that. You were detained at the airport. That's our people.
Yeah.
That's definitely our people. So, and especially for something just insane and nonsense and stupid. And it's not even like you forgot a loaded gun. It's not something like that where they should detain you. We also have Jesse Satterfield. You have not heard that name. He's a guy who found Justin Bieber's wallet.
Oh.
And tried like hell to return it.
Really?
And
couldn't cut through the people's people?
Credit cards.
No kidding.
Driver's license when it was in, I don't know, did he have it? Was it out of date? I mean, was this a current one that he had, Bean? Do you remember?
Gee, I don't know. I don't know anything about this story.
Okay. My Strange Addiction. Guy who's having plastic surgery to look like Justin Bieber.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I can't get my head around that because, look, if you have plastic surgery to look like Paul McCartney or George Washington or somebody that people are going to know and is going to be a thing forever.
Can I just butt in right there?
Those were terrible examples.
Let's say that they're, Bean, I think you're talking about standing the test of time.
Oh, okay.
Exactly. I'm talking about somebody that people will look at you in 20 years and go, oh, you look like fill in the blank.
Right.
Justin Bieber, no one is going to remember what he looked like when he was a teenager.
But I'd like to also suggest that perhaps... getting, plastic surgery to look like anybody, even if they're relevant forever, is absurd.
Absolutely. Crazy.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely crazy, yeah. Although, I noticed in the Super Bowl commercial yesterday that Andrew Luck is going for the full-time I'm Abraham Lincoln look.
Andrew Luck, what commercial was he in?
He, oh, you know what? He was in the reading of the Declaration of Independence.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he was in. He was standing there, tall guy with the big Lincoln beard. Looked just like Abe Lincoln. I was thinking maybe he's going for that. But why would you get plastic surgery to look like anybody, but much less Justin Bieber? I'm just saying, you're already buying expired milk, friend.
Yeah, exactly. We also have Dr. Drew on the program today, talking about Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, God, that broke my heart.
Which blew. And in the 6 o'clock hour, we are going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, and Andrew Siciliano will help us break down the Super Bowl. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Ralph Garman is here. It is sadly Monday morning, but he's going to make the pain go away with our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's happening?
It is Monday morning, so we take a look at the box office. And Super Bowl weekend, traditionally not a big time for people to catch movies, and this one was no exception. The number one film at the box office was indeed Ride Along yet again, but just with $12.3 million. Frozen came in at number two. I guess a lot of people taking the kids see a movie, considering maybe they weren't into the Super Bowl. $9.3 million made it number two.
Hey, Ralph, let me ask you about this Frozen. Have you seen that? Did you take Olivia to go see that?
No.
Okay. It came out of nowhere, right? I mean, it's not based on anything. It's turning into one of the biggest Disney hits of all time. Isn't it like $800 million or something crazy like that?
Yeah, it's just doing big business.
It does not stop.
Yeah.
It's a miracle.
Those Disney animated flicks do pretty well.
They do, but this is exceptional, right?
I heard the music is really great.
They said it's like the phenomenon that was, you probably don't remember, but Little Mermaid at that time when that came out was similar. Smash it above and beyond the usual delivery of those kind of films. And they said the music in this, like Lisa said, is making everybody a true believer.
Why don't you watch it, Pete?
And they shot way past Lion King. I was like, what the heck's going on? Because, you know, Lion King, you think of that as being, you know, one of the all-time biggest Disney movies. And this one's way past that.
You know, you're passionate about the animated films, so you must have been
just surprised.
That awkward moment was awkward indeed. In its debut, made $9 million. The Nut Job was fourth. Lone Survivor came in at number five. Jack Ryan's Shadow Recruit was your sixth most popular film of the weekend. Then Labor Day, in its debut, made just $5.3 million. American Hustle, The Wolf of Wall Street, and I, Frankenstein, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. The big showbiz story of the weekend, of course, was everyone's shock and dismay at the news that Philip Seymour Hoffman had passed away. Enormously talented actor, had won a 2005 Academy Award for his portrayal of Truman Capote in that film, was found dead yesterday in his Manhattan apartment just at the age of 46. Friends had gone to check on him because he hadn't shown up to pick up his kids. That's when officials discovered him. They haven't officially announced a cause of death, although many of the New York tabloids and TMZ reporting that it was a drug overdose, and some reports even saying that he was found with a needle in his arm when he was discovered. Hoffman had undergone a stint at rehab last May for heroin addiction. He kicked heroin more than two decades previously, but lapsed about a year ago with prescription drugs and then gradually escalated back into heroin. And sources are saying that was ultimately what took his life yesterday at the age of 46. But a tremendously talented actor and, by all accounts, a real good guy, too. So just a real tragedy.
I mean, I felt so terrible for his family, but gosh, it's hard to, you'd be hard pressed to think of a better actor than Philip Seymour Hoffman. Yeah. He's great in every single movie. He's incredible.
It's always
makes every role his own.
Yeah. More sad news. One of the men responsible for many of our childhoods, Arthur Rankin Jr., has passed away at the age of 89. He and his partner, Jules Bass, created a production company called Rankin Bass, and they were known for their famous stop motion holiday specials like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Santa Claus is Coming to Town. And if you watched a Christmas special as a kid, you were the beneficiary of the work of these two gentlemen. Passed away at the age of 89 at his home in Bermuda. So he was living pretty large by the time it was all said and done. But a lot of fond memories created from that guy. It's nice to know that he's got a legacy that will live on well beyond his years. Another big story in show business over the weekend was Friday when it was announced that Jesse Eisenberg had landed the coveted role of Lex Luthor in the upcoming Batman Superman sequel with Ben Affleck and Henry Cavill. A lot of reaction on the internet to this.
Yeah.
Any of it good?
Not so much that I have seen.
What about from you?
Hollywood is calling it outside the box casting. And look, I like Jesse Eisenberg a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a very talented actor. I think he may be a little young to pull off the imposing figure that legendarily has been Lex Luthor in the Superman legend. But, look, you can't really judge until you see it, right?
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been my choice, but maybe they know what they're doing. They got the script in their hands. They may know what they need better than I do. I keep thinking someone at the studio said, get me Heisenberg, and then they ended up with Eisenberg. I think they're going for Bryan Cranston, and someone just mistyped a memo or something, and that's how it ended up. I think Cranston got screwed out of this deal by some miscommunication. That's what I'm guessing. What do I know?
We do remember the internet exploded when Heath Ledger was named the Joker, and what an outrage that was, and what a terrible casting decision that was. Remember at the time, he was too light to play the Joker, and then, of course, he turned in one of the great film performances of all time. But like Ralph says, see what it looks like.
Yeah. Although Luther traditionally has been played as a very dominating, imposing, intimidating figure of physical presence.
Right.
As well as sort of being a super intellect. I don't think Jesse Eisenberg has that quality. I don't think as good as a performance he may be able to turn in. He won't be playing that Lex Luthor, that's for sure. So, and I don't know what he looks like bald either, so we'll see. Maybe they won't shave his head. Maybe they'll just say, F you everybody who ever liked Superman. We're doing something else.
This is not that.
This is not that for you. Today's celebrity birthdays, Blythe Danner, the actress, is 71 years old today. She's also the mother of that succubus, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Mm, yeah.
Blythe Danner, very talented actress in her own right, by the way. Morgan Fairchild, a woman who has been famous my entire life, and I still don't know quite yet what for. But she's been around for a long time at 64
now,
years old.
Is she Belle today? She looks good in those old baby ads.
I haven't seen her. I don't know.
She doesn't seem to ever change.
No.
I don't think so.
Thomas Calabro from Melrose Place, 55 years old today. Actress Maura Tierney is 49. Nathan Lane, very talented and funny man, 38 years old. Isla Fisher is 38 as well. Rebel Wilson from Super Fun Night. Oh, she dances, but she's heavy set. Don't you see?
Right.
Where the comedy therein lies.
Mm-hmm.
She's 28 years old, and singer Sean Kingston is 24. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Monday morning. Well, there's one thing that we knew going into the Super Bowl yesterday, and that is whichever team lost was going to be able to find some comfort in legal weed, because Colorado and Washington are the two states that have legalized recreational marijuana use. So that's good news for Broncos players and their fans, right?
Yeah, a lot of them today probably in a stupor.
Sure. Yeah. And I guess the other side of the story is if you celebrate when you're winning, I guess you could smoke weed that way too. I guess so. Either team was in business. But I bring this up to say this. Colorado, they just started selling weed legally this month, but man, do they love it. Man, are they already embracing it. Listen to this, you guys. The Colorado State Fair the Denver County Fair is what it is in Colorado, is happening in August, and they have already announced that they are going to be having an entire section of the fair that's just for marijuana-themed events.
Wow.
Separate from the rest of the fair, but it's legal and they're going for it. We wanted to find out more about this. This is so unusual to see this at a fairground. So we thought, hey, Producer Dave, who can you line up for us? And we have the general manager of the Colorado State Fair. His name is Chris Wiseman, and he joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hi, Mr. Wiseman. How are you, sir?
Hey.
You having a good day so far?
Every day is good, right, man?
Right.
You wake up alive, you're good. The only bad day is the day you don't wake up.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a good point. All right. So, Chris, I didn't get into any of the details. I thought maybe you could walk us through what you've got planned at the Denver County Fair this August.
Sure. Yeah, I can do that. We're going to have a part of the fair, and it'll be all pot-themed.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Okay.
Uh-huh. What? Do you have contests?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any of them you want to... mention.
What?
Best hemp fabric, for example.
Hey, that's a good one. Let me write that down.
Well, I mean, it's already...
hemp fabric.
It's in the story.
Yeah.
Best homemade bong.
Hey, that'd be good too, man.
Right.
You want a job?
Well, I'm reading a list that you put out.
Oh, right. We're doing that, right?
Right, that's happening.
Yeah.
Yes.
I knew this sounded already familiar.
Yes.
Hold on a second. I can clear my head.
That's one of those homemade bongs right now.
Okay, I'm better now.
Okay, best brownie recipe, I see.
Yeah, but when I say brownie, you know what I'm saying?
Well, we're talking about brownies with pot in
them. Yeah!
Obviously.
Boom!
Well, it's not yeah. a secret. You don't have to hide it anymore.
I know, but it's just cool.
In Colorado, they legalized recreational use, so that's all good.
Yeah, recreational use.
Right. It's not just medical.
No.
Best roach clip?
Yeah, you know, accessories are a big part of the lifestyle, I found. Mm-hmm. And you want a nice-looking roach clip.
Sure.
Say it a lot. It's funny. Roach. It stops meaning something after a while.
Yeah.
Roach clip. Just becomes sound.
Right. Yes.
That sounds funny to you. Listen.
Yeah.
Are you the guy who should be the general manager of the Colorado State Fair? It sounds like it's a big job with a lot of people, a lot of planning, preparation, meetings. It seems like a lot for you to take on.
Wow, that's offensive, man. Because I enjoy something that's legal and recreational, somehow I can no longer perform a duty or function?
Well, I mean, we've just been...
That hurts, man.
We're reading an article with your quotes in it.
Yeah.
And they're all brand new to you.
Yeah, but not brand new.
I see.
Because, like, I remember that thing you said about that thing. What was it?
Best homemade bong?
Yeah, I remember that.
Right?
Hey, you know what we're going to have?
What?
A best homemade bong competition.
Okay, yeah, all right.
That'll be fun. And brownies. And, roach, we're going to have a roach clip competition.
Best roach clip.
Roach clip. Say that a lot. Starts to lose its meaning.
Okay, all right. Not a football fan, are you?
What? There's a football? Are we playing football at the fair?
Well, I mean, you know, you're from Denver and all. I just thought,
yeah.
Man. Nope.
Sorry, I'm not getting your point.
This is not registering?
Oh,
yesterday, Denver played in a pretty big football game. They're in the Super Bowl.
Oh, how'd they do?
They got destroyed.
I got destroyed last night, too, man.
K-Rock's World Tour is back, this time for 2014. Destination number one is Arcade Fire in Rome, Italy. Got a chance for you to qualify. Get on the standby boarding list at 9:10 this morning here on the world-famous K-Rock. Monday mornings means Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Hi, Harvey. How are you, sir?
I'm good, guys. Good morning.
Very, very sad. Nothing but bad news to talk about today. And I got to tell you, we opened the show talking about Philip Seymour Hoffman today. That was just a kick in the gut when that news came down yesterday morning, wasn't it?
Yeah, we're talking about that this morning, about whether this is shocking. I mean, addiction is shocking and it's not shocking. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're famous or talented or whatever. I mean, addiction is, it sucks. And, you know, he had struggled with it, and 23 years ago he kicked it, but last May we did a story that he voluntarily checked back into rehab because he felt like he was slipping back into heroin again.
Right.
So there was a warning sign, and we've talked to people who have told us that his big fear was that he would end up using needles again. And he knew that needles really took you down a dark path. And that was the reason he checked in. And, you know, now this happens. So, you know, it's terrible, but, you know, he had some warning signs where he was trying to deal with it. The demons overcame.
Right. I mean, 46 years old and to have a wife and kids, and it's just hard for us to understand. We're going to have Dr. Drew on later to discuss this addiction issue. I mean, it's just so hard for us non-users to get our heads around how great his life was, how well things were going for him. What would ever make you want to think about throwing that all away? But I guess the answer is it's a disease and you can't help it.
There is no correlation between money, success, family, happiness. There is no correlation between any of that stuff and addiction. Addiction is physical and physiological, and it grips people, and it kills people, and it destroys people's lives, and it doesn't matter who you are. And, you know, sadly, there aren't that many people like Robert Downey Jr. who could overcome it over a long period of time, but addiction just isn't that way. The scary thing right now is there is a deadly strain of heroin going around the East Coast, and it has killed, I mean, literally, in the last 3 weeks, it's killed 19 people in Rhode Island, 22 in Pennsylvania,
five
in Long Island. It's a heroin that is 100 times stronger than morphine, shuts down the respiratory system, And cops don't know if there was any of this in the 10 baggies that were found in the house, but that's one of the things that toxicology will determine.
That's what I was going to ask you about, because they said last night on the news the exact same thing, which is that they could sort of trace it back to the batch that it came from. But it didn't say what you just said, is that it was too strong. I didn't know.
There's a particular quality. This drug is used, this particular fatal strain is used with terminal cancer patients to relieve pain. But one of the side effects, especially when unmonitored, is literally shutting down the respiratory system. Remember, too, he was found with a needle in his left arm.
Yeah.
So whatever happened, it seems like it happened suddenly. But again, I'm not suggesting that this was the drug. I just know that the cops are looking at it as a possibility.
Right.
We are talking to Harvey Levin, our friend from TMZ Newsroom, TMZ.com, about some of the stories from the weekend. This Woody Allen story broke wide open with the open letter in the New York Times from his adopted daughter, Dylan, alleging very serious sexual abuse. Any response from the Woodman yet, Harvey?
Yeah, no. His rep came out yesterday, said it was disgusting, it was a lie, and he's going to comment soon. You know, it's weird. We put a video up yesterday morning where we had gotten Woody Allen at the Knicks game on Saturday night, and this was hours after Dylan released this letter. And we asked him about it, and actually, it was a freelance photog, and he looked startled. My producer looked at it. He started fiddling with his phone. My producer thinks, and I don't know, but he was saying to me, look, if you look at his phone, it's almost as if he didn't know anything about this, and he was going on his phone to find it because he comes up with this shocked look on his face when he looks up. Now, I think he's reading something into it. He insists that that's kind of the way he sees it.
Right.
But whatever it is, Woody Allen is now reacting and saying it's untrue. But Dylan Farrow, who has made these allegations before, but never in this kind of detail, is saying this was full-on molestation. I mean, he's burying his head in her naked crotch, and you know, and when she was 7 years old, so she is not backing down.
Wow.
Now, I'm sure you'll talk about this in the newsroom today, Harvey, but what are we on the outside now supposed to do with this information?
Well, I don't know what you're supposed to do with it, but here's what Dylan is saying, and her brother Ronan. They're saying, look, you know, Woody Allen has been celebrated, you know, just most recently at the Golden Globes, and Diane Keaton and all the co-stars got up and, you know, gave him this award, and you know, they feel very strongly about it. And there's one school of thought that, look, Woody Allen hasn't been convicted of anything. But you know what?
Or even charged with anything.
But you know what? Michael Jackson wasn't convicted of anything either. And when he was charged, he was found not guilty. Mm-hmm. Yet, he was painted with that his entire adult life. So what's the difference?
Well, I mean,
maybe the Jackson painting is wrong, but it is interesting.
There are two different things. There's are you doing it, and can it be proven in a court of law? I mean, it's right. Very.
Well, it wasn't with either. So it wasn't
right,
with either.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is, even though it can't be proven in a court of law, it's also possibly still happened or has happened.
Oh no! Make no mistake about it. That when somebody is found not guilty in a court of law, that doesn't mean they're innocent.
Right.
It just means the prosecution couldn't prove guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. So you could be 85% guilty but found not guilty because there's a reasonable doubt. So don't confuse,
right.
You know, being found not guilty for being innocent.
And then, of course, and we'll let you go in 1 minute here, Harvey. The other aspect of this story when you're dealing with a celebrity is, do we have the way to compartmentalize and separate their art from their activities as a human, as a regular person? Am I not allowed to enjoy a Woody Allen movie now if I believe that he's a child molester, or are both things allowed to exist?
This is a matter of personal choice, but I'm going to ask you a question and give me a distinction, okay? What's the difference between Woody Allen, who is embraced by pretty much everybody except these kids, you know, notwithstanding what they say, what's the difference there, and, say, Roman Polanski, where Hollywood, you know, is somewhat divided, but, you know, there's still a lot of support for, you know, for Roman Polanski in Hollywood, and I guess the case there is way stronger. Nonetheless, people still think, oh, yeah, they've compartmentalized it because he's a great artist.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's a personal thing. There are some people who will never be able to. I mean, some people, this is a Woody Allen deal breaker, and it should be. And other people just go, well, I don't know anything about it. I can't prove it. And he still makes good movies. So it definitely gives you something to think about.
And again, we should end by saying you're right that he hasn't been even charged with anything. So, you know, there is a presumption in this country.
All right. Philip Seymour Hoffman, Woody Allen, Justin Bieber, and boobs. It's all at TMZ.com. Don't miss the fine variety of TMZ television shows on your local Fox affiliate, including the original TMZ show at 6. TMZ Live airs at 4. And TMZ Sports airs weekends at midnight on Fox. Harvey, have a great week, my friend. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, guys.
Hey, it's almost Olympics time. As you know, Sochi Winter Olympics are getting ready to begin. There are so many interesting stories that people love about these athletes. That's why they watch the shows, because they love to see what it takes to get to the Olympics. There's one athlete in particular that I am fascinated with, Kevin. Are you familiar with the lone Winter Olympics person from Mexico?
No, I didn't know they did the Winter Olympics in Mexico.
Apparently there are 18 countries that have one athlete at the Winter Games.
Really?
And Mexico is one of them. His name is Prince Hubertus von Hohenlohe.
Hey, wait,
and here's
we're on the air.
Hey, no, listen, Doc. Hey, what's up, Lisa May?
Hold on, Rudy.
Rudy, we were just talking about...
Hey there, how are you?
Rudy just walked in?
I know this guy, Hohenlohe.
What?
I know Mr. Hohenlohe.
The guy from Mexico?
I train him, Doc.
What?
You trained the prince? He's a real-life prince. He was born in Mexico, but has spent most of his life living, I think, in Austria. He is 55 years old. That's the other thing I was going to tell you, Kevin. He's 55, and he's a slalom skier for Mexico.
I used to know him as Listo, Doc. I met this guy. Listen, I'm not even fooling around, Doc. Listen, I was like, okay, this was one weekend, Doc. I was crazy perv, right? And me and my homeboy Lunatic, we drove down to Mexico, right?
Right.
Like, and next thing I know, I wake up, I'm in the street, and they're like, hey, you ain't got no passport, man. You're going to have a hard time getting back. So, like, I met up with this other vato. He's, like, kind of older, Doc. I'm like, hey, fool, come here, OG. And I was like, what's your name? He's like, I'm a prince, fool. I'm like, damn, no way, Doc. And he's like, no, for real, Doc. I'm like, I got to get back into America because, like, I'm trying to get my skiing game all up. And I'm like, skiing, como se dice, skiing. So then I'm like, we got to get back in there. But like, none of us, we don't have no como se dice papers. You
right.
know what I'm saying, Lisa?
Right. Yeah.
So I see this vato right there with a snow cone machine.
Right.
So I'm like, hey, Doc, let me bum that real quick. And I threw him in there with the ice. And then we cruised back. I was like, oh, I got a working visa. Got to go make some snow cones, you know, get my perv on.
So the prince was in the snow cone machine?
For real, though. And then, like, my other, like, I have my my primo lives down in San Diego, Mr. Roper. He gave me a ride up to up to America. And next thing I know, I'm like, hey, this snow's pretty dope, fool. So then my other uncle, okay, he comes over, right? You know, his name's Victor, but we call him Maniac. And, like, he has a snow blower, fool, you know, but it was really like a leaf blower, you know, that he uses for his leaves job. And he blasts the snow, like, all over my grandma's roof.
Yeah.
And the next thing I know, the prince is up there on his skis. Boom. Boom. Like that. And we're like, just sit back, you know, drink a 40, whatever. And we watch
Rudy,
him go
let
down
me,
the
let me interrupt here, because I feel like we went very far, far, afar of the original story. So you're telling me that you know the prince, the 55-year-old Mexican Olympic skier, and you were there when he first started skiing and deciding that he loved it.
It's true, dog. Like, he's like, he already had this dream because, like, he's like a prince. He lived all over the world. He was in, like, Menudo.
If he's a prince that, what?
He was in Menudo. It's true, dog.
He if he's like, a prince that's been all over the world, why is he crawling in a snow cone machine to cross the border?
Because, dog, like this, dog, he
seems like he would have a passport.
I know, but he got quarantined because he was in Belize making sea urchin ceviche, and then he caught some crazy flu, like he got like fish flu, and they're like, you can't come back in the country. So then, dog, he had to get some crazy underground antibiotics or whatever. No, so I see him back in Mexico doing the yes guy, all that stuff. He's like, he's got his crazy dome all over the place, and I'm like, dog, you know, I'm here to help you, because like, he had all these crazy stories. He owned this art gallery, and he used to be like, he was like a roadie for Mata Hupo, and next thing I know, he's like,
good reference. But look, he's 55 years old. He cannot be a very competitive skier in the Olympics, right?
He's been skiing down my grandma's roof with snow cone ice for like 3 months.
But
with
that's
me
not
on his back, his legs are crazy buff, dog. You know, like.
But that's not the same training that these athletes go through that are going to be skiing in the Olympics.
You have no idea, dog. The other day we did a drive-by on his skis. He's that fast. He's that fast.
Impressive.
I got on his back. I was like, blam, dog. Better recognize him. He's like, shh, shh, and we were out. This other dog down the street in Boyle Heights, dog, he had like a El Camino crazy, like a board and stroke, and he couldn't even catch it because he was like, shh, like that. His skis all
on
crazy.
What? There's no snow.
On concrete, dog. That's what I'm saying. If he could go slaloms, he could go crazy slaloms all sprinting fast on concrete by King Taco on the asphalt. Imagine what he's going to do in Sochi, dog, on ice. Like crazy nice ice.
I'm you know very what I'm saying? So are your friends on both sides of the border then? They're going to be tuning into the Winter Olympics and rooting for Prince Honolohi? Because this just doesn't seem like the type of thing you'd watch, Rudy.
Dog, let me just say this. We're going to paint that town brown, dog. You know what I'm saying? Brown pride. I don't mean that the way you're thinking.
Sound,
no.
That doesn't
okay,
sound
let me
attractive.
Rephrase that. Like, we're gonna do it upright. It's going to be like La Raza up in the snow. It's going to be like frozen Mexican pride.
Okay.
Essentially like Eskimos, dog. You know what I mean? Like Eskimo cholos.
Sure, yeah. Well, we're rooting for the prince then. I mean, again, the only athlete to represent Mexico. And at 55, it's quite a story. If he wins anything, it'd be amazing.
Do you get to go as his trainer, coach, mom?
I want to, dog, house? But I'm still on parole, dog. You know, so I can't leave the state. You know, and I feel like that's outside the state. But
it is outside the state.
I was like smoking.
Very much.
Last night, check this out, dog. I was
we got to go.
No, I was blazing some weed, dog. And I was watching TV. And you know, Kodiak Bears?
Yeah.
Crazy, right? They're all big. National, you know, say National Geographic, whatever.
Right, we got to go.
Bear.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
He was driving 110 miles per hour in Florida and got pulled over by the CHP.
Okay.
And the guy pretty
now,
much...
Now, why were the California Highway Patrol in Florida?
That is a great question.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Yeah, he got off because they were out of their jurisdiction.
It's true.
Right. What happened?
Hey, Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network is still in New York where it is snowing like crazy this morning on MetLife Stadium. What a difference 24 hours makes. He'll be joining us with a recap of Super Bowl 48 coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. Good morning, Ralph.
Yeah, it is Monday morning. Kevin, I was wondering, did you see any hockey over the weekend? Did you catch any hockey over the weekend?
Hockey, let me think about that. Friday, Dot of Life, Saturday, I think.
Saturday afternoon, there may have been a game.
I saw one team.
Saturday afternoon?
I saw one team play.
Did you?
It was the Philadelphia Flyers.
You saw them play?
Yeah.
Who were they playing up against? Do you remember? You remember recalling it all?
Maybe the Kings.
Oh, that's right. That's right. The Flyers did play the Kings on Saturday.
Yeah.
I was looking for you at the...
I was there.
At Staples Center. I didn't see you. Yeah. I was there.
I was sobbing.
Were you sobbing?
Head in my hands.
What was the score there, Ralph?
It was 2. I know the Flyers had 2 goals. How many goals did the Kings score? Well, I can't remember.
You mean total?
Yeah,
like
all three periods? 3 periods. If you add them all up together.
Hang on.
Do a little math.
0.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
How many shut out? The shots were like 35-11 or something.
Yes.
Kings. Oh. And got nothing. Oh. Nothing.
They kept announcing that. The Kings, 35 shots on net. Right. Flyers, only 11.
Right. Because...
And I kept going, scoreboard! scoreboard! And all the Kings fans turned around glaring at me. And at the end of the game, I kept high-fiving and saying, good shots. Good shots on goal, guys. Good shots.
Yeah, that was frustrating.
Yeah. Mason played out of his head.
Yeah, he did. It was crazy.
Nuts. It was a nuts game.
A lot of good opportunities, just couldn't get it in.
A lot of fun. Yeah. A lot of orange at the Staples Center there Saturday. I was surprised.
A lot of Philadelphia Flyers left, yeah. A
ton of orange there. But
yeah, it wasn't as fun for me as it was for you.
There were some of my boys. We had a good time.
Yeah.
I was looking for you. I couldn't find you.
Yeah, I was looking for you pretty hard.
Buy you a drink or something.
Right.
Buy you a little commissary drink.
Yeah.
It's Monday. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Right along, number 1. With $12.3 million. Then Frozen, the animated juggernaut, $9.3 million. Made it number 2. That awkward moment when Zac Efron realized he was in that film, $9 million in its debut. The Nut Job was 4th, and Lone Survivor came in at number 5. Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit, 6th. Labor Day, the new Kate Winslet film, debuted with just $5.3 million, making it number 7. American Hustle was 8th. The Wolf of Wall Street was 9th, and I, Frankenstein, rounding out the top 10. Congratulations to Owen Wilson. He has got a baby.
Did they see that coming?
Yes.
Okay.
Remember, this was his personal trainer.
His
one-off baby mama.
Yeah.
Carolyn Lindquist gave birth to a baby boy last Thursday morning. Owen met Carolyn when she was his physical trainer.
They hooked up. She was still married to a Beverly Hills plastic surgeon at the time. Now they're just friends that have a baby together, which is awkward.
Sort of weird.
Owen also has a 3-year-old son named Ford with another ex-girlfriend named Jade Duell. So he does his work and then moves along. He's needed elsewhere. He's like the Lone Ranger.
Yeah.
He comes into town. He solves your problem, but he's got to keep moving on.
Got to move on.
There's a lot of frontier out there.
What's next?
To be protected. So.
Sounds like Owen Wilson should have started that awkward moment instead of Zac Efron.
Zing! Philip Seymour Hoffman, enormously talented actor, found dead yesterday in his Manhattan apartment at the age of 46. Friends went to check on him because he hadn't shown up to pick up his kids. And when they found him, according to many reports, they found him with a needle in his arm. Drug overdose is the suspected cause of death. Hoffman underwent a stint in rehab last May for heroin addiction. He had kicked the substance more than two decades before, but lapsed about a year ago. Started with prescription drugs and then gradually escalated back into heroin. And unfortunately, his addiction took his life by all reports.
I know that's one of the insidious things about addiction is that you'd think the guy's 20 years clean, sort of like he's got it now.
Yeah.
No such thing.
Hmm.
I think actor Simon Pegg tweeted over the weekend regarding addiction. He said, the thing about addiction is you can put the car in park, but you can never turn off the engine and you never stop hearing the revving of the engine.
Wow.
And I think that's aptly put. A lot of addicts describe it that way. It's always there in the background, just humming along, waiting for an opportunity to take advantage again. And sadly, we lost an enormous talent and by all accounts, a really good guy.
What was your favorite role of his, Ralph, if you have one? He's in so many great movies.
Yeah,
it's almost hard to, think about
it. You always remember sometimes the first time an actor impresses you, And I remember his performance in Boogie Nights. It's been like, wow, who's that guy?
Right.
First time he really caught my attention. I was like, that guy's fantastic. But Capote, again, he won the Oscar for his work as Truman Capote. It was a great performance. And The Master, it was not a big hit film, but I thought it was a remarkable performance. Even in the lighter films he did, like the Mission Impossible film that he starred in. Great villain.
Yeah, he was great.
Always good.
I was thinking of Almost Famous. He was so great as Lester Bangs in that.
Yeah.
And the performance that just killed me was in Doubt. Remember Doubt?
Yeah,
he played
the
priest, and he played just both sides. You didn't know what to think of him. He just walked that line. He was just so brilliant.
It's good news for Lisa.
Why is that?
There's going to be a Back to the Future musical. Yeah!
Finally!
Right.
Finally!
Woo! People have been demanding.
You drive that car across the stage.
Oh,
that's going to be cool.
Fly over the audience.
I bet it will.
The director and writer of the movie, Bob Zemeckis and Bob Gale, they are behind the musical, which will have an original score besides just the songs that Huey Lewis and Chuck Berry, of course, had in the original. They're hoping for an opening on London's West End in 2015, which would be the 30th anniversary of the movie's release. So you get to see Back to the Future, the musical.
Hmm.
Marty, I just met a young boy named Marty. Well, auditioning. And, of course, the Super Bowl this weekend, a lot of people talking about the commercials, including, we finally found out, the big Seinfeld reunion project. That wasn't really so much a reunion, but a 90-second Super Bowl ad featuring Seinfeld and George at their usual hangout. Newman showed up. It was entertaining, I guess, to see those guys do that thing again.
Yeah.
Jason took his hair off for it, which I thought was bold. Good time was had by y'all. Today's celebrity birthdays. Blythe Danner is 71 years old today. Actress Morgan Fairchild is 64. Thomas Calabro from Melrose Place and the reboot, 55 years old. Maura Tierney is 49. Nathan Lane, 38 years old today. Does that strike anyone odd, other than me, that Nathan Lane is 38 years old?
Yes, I don't think that's right.
Wow.
He's got to be at least 48.
King of Mexico may have given me wrong information here. I noticed that the first
hour. 58.
I should have looked into it, but it just seems, it strikes me as odd.
Maybe 83.
Yeah, that's not,
Nathan
it's
Lane
not possible.
Is 38 years old.
Not my fault.
I think it may be, Dave. I think you may need to go back and source that birthday number that you
I also would like to suggest that you'll find that Dave had no idea who Nathan Lane was, probably.
That's
so.
Probably true.
Mm-hmm.
He probably thinks it's a street someone lives on. Isla Fisher is 38 years old. Rebel Wilson from Superfund Night, the TV series, and that Pitch Perfect show. She's 20, movie rather, she's 28. And Sean Kingston celebrates his 24th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
15.
15 seconds away officially. And the first world championship in franchise history as they win it here at MetLife Stadium. 43-8. The Seahawks are world champs.
And at MetLife Stadium to see it live and in person was our friend Andrew Siciliano from the DirecTV Red Zone and the NFL Network. Andrew has been kind enough to join us every Monday throughout the season. And once again, we got him on the phone, this time from the Big Apple. Hi, Andrew. How are you, my friend?
Hi, guys. Good morning from snowy New York.
Boy, Super Bowl dodged a bullet with that weather coming in the morning after the game, right?
Yeah, it's. I looked out the window like 6 a.m. It was coming down then. Look out the window right now. I mean, it is really coming down. It may only be, I guess they said yesterday, 3 inches, but looking out the window right now, it's snowing and snowing hard.
So, Andrew, there were, there's as many experts as there are people when you start talking about the Super Bowl. Everybody's got a prediction. Everybody thinks they know how it's going to come down. There was nobody anywhere ever that called for a blowout, right? How did everybody get it so wrong?
Nobody. Like, I ran into Robert Quinn of the St. Louis Rams. We're watching the game for a while last night, name dropper. And I said, of 100 different frickin' scenarios, we would have never, ever come up with this one, right? And he said, yep, never in a million years.
And by the way, not only was it a blowout, which nobody would have come up with, but it was just so weird with that first play from scrimmage, the snap going into the, way over Peyton Manning's head. I mean, it was 2-0 and 5-0 and then 8-0. It was a bizarre, bizarre game.
I took a picture of the scoreboard at 2-0 because that was not supposed to be right. And then 5-0. I said, nah, I don't need another photo. But the crazy thing is of it too. So the whole 12th man thing in Seattle, right?
Yeah, right.
12th man, that's how they get there. Well, it sounded like the 12th man was there. The building was a Seahawks building. And it's not as if there weren't Bronco fans there. There are plenty of Bronco fans there. The Seahawks fans were louder.
Well,
they owned the building. It changed the game. And Peyton said afterwards as well that it was a noise thing. That first snap, the safety, was a noise thing. And if you notice, it was 12 seconds into the game
when they
scored the safety. And it was 12 seconds into the second half when Percy Harvin returned a kick for the touchdown.
So they should have just avoided that second, both halves, and then they would have been fine.
Exactly.
Andrew, here's my favorite thing,
right,
though. My favorite thing is not that the noise caused we've seen errant snaps in every game. But the ball went like 3 times too far. I mean, it wasn't. Most of the time it'll hit a quarterback in the hands if he's not ready. I mean, he could have.
Or in the face.
He could have started running when they got up to the line of scrimmage and he wouldn't have been able to catch that snap.
We said all week that if the Seahawks are able to get a turnover early, which is what they're so good at doing, it changes the momentum, it changes the game. And it happened 12 seconds into the game.
Yeah,
you figured
yeah.
maybe Peyton gets hit and throws a pick, which we did have as well.
Right.
Midway through the first quarter. And that changed the momentum, not 12 seconds in. I mean, at one point, the yardage was 161-11 in favor of the Seahawks.
But here's the thing that kept coming to my mind. I know this looks bad for Denver. And I know Seattle's on a roll, and they've got the momentum. But Denver has done this all year where they let other teams get out to a big lead, and then they somehow figure out a way to come back.
Sure.
A, you don't do that against Seattle, and B, boy, that first kickoff in the second half pretty much put a nail in that coffin.
All right, put this in your cup of coffee. At halftime, it was what, 22-0?
Yes, right.
Right. At halftime, that would have already been the greatest comeback in the history of the Super Bowl. Comebacks do not happen historically in the Super Bowl. They don't exist.
Right.
I think the biggest comeback is like 10. I could be wrong. Maybe it's 12, but it sure is not 22. At 22-0 at the half, historically, that game was over.
We are talking to Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network about last night's Super Bowl 48. Were you surprised by the choice of Malcolm Smith as the most valuable player? I mean, how do you even choose a most valuable player on a team that plays so much as a team and so little as individuals?
Well, someone had to get it. I'm so happy for the guy. I mean, for those who don't know Malcolm Smith, he's from our backyard. He went to SC. He's a seventh-round pick. I mean, he's a seventh-round pick on a team with Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch and Percy Harvin and all these great pieces, Richard Sherman, and Malcolm Smith is the MVP because he had a pick, he had a fumble recovery, And it shows you, then this is, here comes the sports caster cliche stuff, but it shows you how much of a team that defense truly is. And they do not have, Richard Sherman is the biggest star on that defense.
Right.
And let's face it, before Richard Sherman blew up at Aaron Andrews a couple of weeks ago, 98% of America didn't know who he was. There's a great thing, I don't know if I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, go online and look up Richard Sherman on Bourbon Street last year. He did a great video in which he made fun of himself because he had a suspension at one point last year, and he walked up and down Bourbon Street with a camera and asked all these party Super Bowl fans, who's a better corner, me or Darrell Revis, who's that? Okay? They all said Darrell Revis, and a lot of them said, because that Sherman guy is a drug user, and he's no good, and all he does is talk. They had no idea they were talking to him.
Awesome.
He stuck his hand out, and he did it with such grace and humor. Stuck his hand out and went, hi, Richard Sherman. Nice to meet you.
That's no a hilarious story. And by the way, most of America didn't know Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor and all those other great Seattle players until yesterday either. I mean, it was about as complete a team performance as you ever want to see. Now, I know it's too early to talk about next year, Andrew, but what do you think in your gut is likely for Peyton Manning? He can't retire on this, right?
No way. And by the way, I don't think he was going to retire if he won.
No, he's been saying he sort of wasn't.
Flip it around. I mean, he said he's not going to retire, I mean, if they won. But if, for example, they had won by 35 points, so he gets two rings now, after putting up the greatest single season in quarterback history, you don't quit.
Yeah.
There's no way you don't go back and try to do it again. And he certainly can't quit like this. You know,
okay.
You do not quit walking off the field with your head down, losing by 35.
Let me ask you two non-football things from being there in person yesterday. How did Bruno Mars' halftime show play for the crowd?
I thought it played well. What did you guys think?
I've seen several Super Bowls. I'm lucky enough to go to several of them. And when you're there, it's such a different thing because as far as you can look to the left, as far as you can look to the right, you can see fireworks and sound and lights and everything else.
Right.
When you're watching it on TV, I don't think it translates quite as well. I thought it was good. I really thought it was good.
I thought it was really good, and I think there were some people, to be blunt, coming in who said, is Bruno Mars a big enough act? I mean, we're in New York, but he delivered.
I think so, too.
I thought he really delivered. It wasn't Prince, and it wasn't Madonna, and it wasn't U2.
I just wanted somebody that's relevant to what's going on today, and we haven't had that in a long time, and Bruno Mars at least is that.
Although Beyonce was that last year.
Right.
Beyonce was great last year. I think if you wanted to go pop this year, your choices would have been Bruno Mars, Katy Perry, or maybe Taylor Swift, right?
Oh, Taylor Swift. Maybe. That would have been a disaster.
I know you guys are massive.
I would have been so happy for Taylor Swift.
What a disaster.
But I would have rather seen Katy Perry up there than anybody. I'll tell you that for obvious reasons. I mean, 10-year anniversary of the wardrobe malfunction? Come on. We can dream, can't we?
Katy Perry had to be the pick, if not Bruno Mars.
All right, last question.
Hold on. We had a wardrobe malfunction 10 years ago, and we did have, what's his face, the Chili Peppers take his shirt off last year, or last night.
So yeah, Flea and Anthony both, right?
Last night, yes.
That's right. All right, last question, non-football related, tangentially football related. How about Joe Namath's coat? Let's talk about Joe Namath coming out there like the pimp daddy.
Okay, good. Here, true story. I said hi to Joe Namath, saw the coat. The coat was fantastic. My phone had died. I couldn't take a picture.
What?
Oh, Andrew.
That was before the game.
I know. But phone had died. I plugged it in later.
Oh, my God.
Has anyone ever drunk coin tossed before last night?
See, I didn't see the coin toss. I was in the elevator. I missed that, but I heard about that.
Yeah, I mean, if it's important to let one of the teams call heads or tails, maybe it was a failure.
The referee had to intercept the coin toss because Joe threw it before one of the teams he picked. It was hilarious.
There will never be another Joe Namath.
Who knew we'd see an interception from Joe Namath at a Super Bowl in 2014?
People try to be Joe Namath, but they can't.
Yeah,
right. What's your schedule like? Are you doing Around the League Live from New York this week, or what are you doing?
Gentlemen, I am doing So the NBC decided they wanted to do something for the Olympics like the Red Zone, and they wanted to call it the Gold Zone.
Nope.
So I am going to do that for the Winter Olympics starting Saturday.
But no way!
way. Yeah, so it's gonna be fun.
Are you gonna be trying to bring us sports that you don't know anything about, Andrew?
Absolutely.
Love it.
Can you be our awesome correspondent? How do we get it? How do we get the Gold Zone?
You can watch it on NBCOlympics.com, and they don't want to drive everyone to the internet. They broke all these ridiculous records for London in terms of streaming internationally or domestically. They want to do the same thing. So if you want to see it live, you basically in the morning or in the afternoon need to see it on NBCOlympics.com, and then they're obviously bring the stuff back in prime time.
Do you have time to talk to us during the Olympics? Because we know less than you do about it.
That would be hard.
Okay. All right.
For you to know less than. No.
I see.
For you to know less than.
I see. Okay. Are you excited about doing this, Andrew? Or
absolutely.
Are they just paying
thrilled.
You so much money you couldn't say no?
Shut up. No, I'm thrilled. I'm really not. Guys are awful. No, I am thrilled to do it, and I have been cramming, and that's what I will do for the next week. I just, matter of fact, got a 123-page research packet for curling.
Oh my God. You're going to read 123 pages about curling.
No,
I'm so happy to not be you.
I'm going to skip over the Russian curlers.
Well,
by the way, the Russian curlers, I love their first album. They were
amazing. They were good. Well, this is awesome news, Andrew. Congratulations. Thank you for a wonderful NFL season of having you stop by the Kevin and Bean Show every week. We really enjoyed it. I hope we get a chance to talk to you during the Olympics. Have fun in New York, my friend. Thank you.
Let's do it, guys.
Bye now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 26 minutes after 7 o'clock.
By the way, that needs to be my next song. Now that I've mastered the Bastille song, I need to do the Fits and the Tantrum song. That's in my range, right? Hey, speaking of music here on the Kevin and Bean Show, brand new U2 called Invisible on the way in just a few minutes. Also, we'll catch up with Dr. Drew Pinsky in a moment. But first, Kevin, My Strange Addiction is back, your favorite show.
TLC, the Freak Network, My Strange Addiction. This particular one is Toby, who is 33 years old, and I'm going to let him tell you what he's doing.
My name is Toby. I'm 33, and I spent about $100,000 to achieve my perfect Justin Bieber look.
He's trying to look like Justin Bieber?
Yep.
He spent...
Why?
He has spent $100,000 on plastic surgery.
Holy crap.
Some people buy fancy cars or fancy mansions, and what I do with my money is I get surgery to look more like Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
Okay. But wait, hold on. Justin Bieber doesn't have a look. It's not like he has a particular, jawline or nose. He's just a haircut.
Look, I don't know. This guy has had
it
all
seems like
kinds
you could look
stuff.
Like Justin Bieber for $15. Just get the haircut.
I'll give you a list of surgeries that he's done in a second. But first, this is him talking about the first time he saw Justin.
When Justin Bieber got famous, I was so jealous of his good looks. He had this baby face that I just really liked. I was like, damn, that's what I want to look like, you know?
He told me right away that was the impetus for his new look. But he had never particularly been a Justin Bieber fan, so that was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, all the people that play the roles of his family are, like bartenders, somebody he met on the street.
He doesn't really have a family, is that what you're suggesting?
Sad. It's really sad.
Now, do you think, because I didn't see this episode, do you think that he just saw that Justin Bieber pulls all the chicks and that's the draw for him? If I could look like that kid, then maybe I'd get a lot of ladies.
I'm not positive he's into ladies.
I see. Okay.
What has he done?
I had various hair transplants done to get his full bangs and his hairline. I also had filler added under the brows, a skin removed on the upper eyelid to get his bright open eyes. I had surgery on my upper lip, on my lip corners, and my lower lip to get his perfect smile. I also had my chin reduced to get the facial structure that he has. I can definitely look back and say that all those surgeries, they were really, really successful.
All of those surgeries were really successful. So then he would go out on the street and say, hey, who do I remind you of? And no one could do it.
Oh, my God.
He got responses like this.
He doesn't really look like Justin Bieber to me.
Wow.
When you get that many plastic surgeries on your face, oftentimes it's very noticeable. It's distractingly disastrous.
Yes.
How about him? Does he look like he's a guy who's had a lot of plastic surgery?
Yep.
Oh, that's a shame.
And he's going to have more, and he wants to look this way when he gets old.
What I really want to do still is a forehead lowering procedure, possibly a jaw reduction here.
I didn't know they could lower your forehead. I need that more than anyone.
And some six-pack surgery.
Six-pack surgery? It's called sit-ups.
If I'm 60 and I can still look like this, I'm definitely going to put all my effort into it.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. How is he paying? Yeah, how's he paying for all this?
They don't reference where he gets his money. But he thinks that when he's old, he's going to look so good that this will happen.
I mean, maybe at some point, if Justin ever gets out of shape or he starts aging, you know, maybe he's going to bring a picture of me to his plastic surgeon and be like, oh, maybe I look like this guy.
Yes, that is likely, sir.
So then he continues to ask people if he looks like Justin Bieber.
I know Toby for about 8 or 9 years now. The first time he had his surgery, I'm like, oh, it looks so, you know, weird.
You don't think I look like Justin Bieber?
No. I'm going to go with no on that. No.
Mostly get positive comments. If I do get a negative one, I...
Do you guys believe that?
No.
No.
He mostly gets positive comments.
I do not.
I mostly get positive comments. If I do get a negative one, I mean, I still try to respond in a, like, nice and polite manner. I mean, there is still, you know, some stuff to be done, but I'm almost where I want to be at.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
And you're looking good. Just ask this person.
So does this remind you of anybody? The style, the look, the face, the hair, anything?
Well, not really.
Well, $100,000 well spent.
So he goes to see a plastic surgeon to talk about more surgeries that he wants.
But I want you to explain exactly what you're looking for and how I can help you.
Okay. Well, basically, I brought like a picture for reference. I really want to look more like Justin Bieber. I had like some procedures done, mostly hair transplants, chin reduction, upper lip lift, corner lip lift, lower lip. Okay.
So I always ask, are you seeing a counselor about any of this?
Well, I haven't been to, like, a psychiatrist yet. Oh, I am generally happy, like...
I'd appreciate it before we even did anything if you at least saw someone, talked to a counselor to make sure that you're as happy as you can be with all the things we're doing.
A plastic surgeon turned him down.
Yeah, finally.
Wow. Turned him down. And usually they take him to the doctor that says, hey, stop doing this. It's putting your life in danger. Mm-hmm. Don't even have that. But we have the answer to the question, would he stop?
To make me stop getting surgeries, I would basically have to die.
All right.
Good luck with that.
All right. My Strange Addiction next time.
What's going on with you today?
Well, I've been eating makeup.
Don't forget, 9:10 this morning here on the Kevin DeVine Show, KROQ World Tour 2014, Destination Number 1. You can be the first to be on the list to win a trip to Rome, the one in Italy, to see Arcade Fire. Pretty good deal. All the details at KROQ.com. Dr. Drew Pinsky has been a very busy man in New York City over the last 24 hours, and for a sad, sad reason, too. Hey, Doc, welcome back to the Kevin DeVine Show, my friend. How are you?
How are you? It's a sad day to be here, but here we are. Another
one, yet again. We usually talk to you later in the week, but we wanted to get you on early this week because of the tragic, terrible, out of the blue for most of us news about Philip Seymour Hoffman yesterday. And we should start by saying, again, we're asking you to comment on someone you do not know, right?
Right. However, some news just this second came through. It's an email I got from CNN about what was in his bloodstream. So you're getting breaking news right now.
Okay.
The coroner or the police have just now released the findings of the toxicology, which included buprenorphine, which is this Suboxone-like drug, which is people are using to treat, Vinase, which is a stimulant you use to treat ADHD. This guy should never have been on that. Vistril, sort of an anti-anxiety medication, a muscle relaxant, Robaxin Soma, and Clonidine, which is something used to treat heroin or opiate withdrawal. So clearly somebody was goofing around trying to treat him and didn't know what the hell. I don't want to speak badly of my peers, but this is a mess. This is a disaster.
So that was a lot of technical terms there, Doc.
By the way, didn't specify who we're talking about yet.
Yeah. Philip Seymour Hoffman, obviously the great Oscar-winning actor, Philip Seymour Hoffman, found dead yesterday at 46 years old. Such a sad story. Such a talented guy with a young family. So you named a lot of drugs to treat drug addiction that were in his system. Did he also have drugs in his system like heroin?
That's what I'm trying to figure out here. The buprenorphine would have been enough, I got to tell you. I have patients that slam buprenorphine. Doesn't say in this. I imagine there's also heroin. They found a bunch of heroin around him.
Right.
So I'm guessing they're also going to have found that. But, you know, here's the deal. A couple of points to be made. A, this is a wonderful man with a wonderful career who left us an incredible legacy that is separate from the fact that he had a chronic medical condition, fatal chronic medical condition called opiate addiction.
Right.
And people can never forget that these are two different things. This is a horrible reminder that, as usual, pills get this going and heroin finishes things off. Though in my world, most of the people end up dying of pill overdoses inadvertently, which I, in a way, this is kind of what's going on here. It's the multiple combination of drugs. So this just makes me sick, frankly, that we have to talk about this. You know, is it Corey Monteith or is it Brittany Murphy or whoever it is? It's just on and on and on. We keep talking about this. More people will die of opiate addiction in the next 30 days than died in the 9/11 tragedy. That's how common.
Oh, wow. Gosh. Wow. What do your patients tell you, Dr. Drew, that it feels like to need a heroin fix?
Well, it's on one hand, you know, it feels like you're in love. It's like the greatest thing you've ever, you know, you love it with a passion that makes everything else melt away. But then when you try to come off, there is aside from all the horrible aches and pain and misery, there's a desperation associated with heroin withdrawal that is almost insurmountable. You literally have to be contained in four walls with people who can help contain you, who know what you're going through and know how to manage it. Outside of a hospital, it's almost impossible.
I know this is a stupid question, but I can't help but feeling that you look at a guy like that and you see somebody who it appears he's been sober for 20 years.
Maybe.
Okay.
And by the way, when people have been sober for a couple of decades and then relapse, that is a particularly difficult population to treat. They're extremely difficult. Yeah.
Well, let me finish my question, though. And I know it's a stupid question, but there's no point where you go, okay, I got this.
No, ever. It's a lifelong condition, particularly for people that trigger severely like he did early in life. And if you struggle along with it, if he were a chronic sort of relapser and I were working with him, say, in his 30s and 40s, I would say, look, man, you're not going to see 50 unless you deal with this and deal with it on a daily basis and deal with it intensively. This messing around with all those pills, it's a bad sign. And I'm fearful that it's my peers again, sort of convincing them. You have to take this Vinace for your ADD. I mean, that's what you got, man. So you're going to feel so much better.
Right.
That you tell a drug addict that, it is game on.
Hmm. Dr. Drew, when we had you on last week talking about the Justin Bieber arrest with the time it looked like some drugs in his system, you were saying he needs to stop working, get into a program, and make this his priority. I wondered about this when I read that Philip Seymour Hoffman had admitted himself into rehab last year, I think in May or something like that. It doesn't sound like he stayed that long because he's a guy who always made 4 or 5 movies a year. Is part of it that he just wouldn't accept that this was something that needed his full-time attention? He tried to live a normal life in addition to trying to kick drugs at the same time?
It's hard to say. I mean, something like that was going on. I'll tell you, again, this is part of if he had sustained sobriety and a recent relapse, it would be a typical story, which is like, hey, I'm just going to go in the hospital detox. I got this. I'll go back to my home meeting. I know my peers. I know what to do. I'll take care of it. I don't need 6 months in the hospital again. I'll take care of it. Don't worry. I keep pointing back to Robert Downey Jr. as the example of how somebody should approach their addiction treatment. He tried to go back to work prematurely, and then he left work contemplating never to return just to make sure he focused on his sobriety, and he still focuses on his sobriety to this day.
Wow. Well, we know you got a very busy schedule, a bunch of interviews. I mean, I guess if there's anybody listening, Dr. Drew, who is in the throes of addiction, I mean, front and center, if you need help, get help, right? I mean, don't ever try to do it yourself is the takeaway right?
You got to – and listen, and opiate addiction, with the painkiller addiction, is the most treacherous of all, and there's all kinds of controversy about how to approach it. Just make sure that you take the time. You know, it's like a 6 months you have to set aside to really focus on treatment and have abstinence as your end game, as your goal. Anything short of complete abstinence, in my experience, ends up in real, real trouble.
Dr. Drew will have much more to say about the upcoming autopsy and the toxicology reports of the Philip Seymour Hoffman case tonight on HLN at 6. You can catch him on Loveline 5 nights a week here with Mike Catherwood on K-Rock.
Love Night, right?
5 nights a week with Mike Catherwood on K-Rock Thursday through Sunday. And then, of course, drdrew.com and podcast1.com for all the podcasts. Again, thanks for squeezing us in from New York. We really appreciate it, Doc.
You got it.
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52. Brand new music from U2 called Invisible up next here on The Kevin Bean Show. And then we'll find out why there was a trending Twitter hashtag of F Coke yesterday during the Super Bowl. What's up with that? Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat.
Not that kind of Coke.
Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola. Yeah. Ralph is here, time for the Showbiz Beat now on a Monday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Because it is Monday, we always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Ride Along was the number one in a weak box office weekend because Super Bowl is traditionally a time where a lot of people don't go to the movies. Ride Along, still number one, though it just made $12.3 million this week. Frozen was second with $9.3 million. Then That Awkward Moment, the new Zac Efron film, debuted with just $9 million. That was good enough still to make it number three at the box office. The Nut Job and Lone Survivor rounded out the top five. Then Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit at number six. Labor Day, the new Kate Winslet film, debuted with $5.3 million and making it number seven. American Hustle, The Wolf of Wall Street, and I, Frankenstein were your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. A lot of people saddened by the news that Philip Seymour Hoffman lost his life to addiction over the weekend. By all accounts, it was his heroin habit, which he had kicked some two decades previous, came back in a bad way. And they found him in his Manhattan apartment at the age of 46, some reports saying with a needle in his arm. He had gone into rehab last May for the addiction. Looks like the struggle beat him, and so much good work left behind, and by all accounts, a very humble, funny, and kind person as well. So a lot of people saddened by the tragedy of losing a great actor who some would say did his best work in the theater. A lot of people never saw his best work because as good as his film work was, they say his presence on stage was even more impressive.
I heard his Death of a Salesman, Willie Loman, was the all-timer.
Yeah. Some celebrities chose to tweet unkind things versus the majority who tweeted a lot of compassionate responses. Jared Padalecki from Supernatural, for example, tweeted, "Sad isn't a word I'd use to describe a 46-year-old man throwing his life away to drugs. Senseless is more like it. Stupid."
Wow.
Some people gave him some negative feedback for that. But then he tweeted in response, sometimes you just delete it and shut up.
Yeah.
He tweeted back, "I didn't mean Philip Seymour Hoffman is stupid or that addiction isn't reality. I simply meant I have a different definition of tragedy." Do you? Is it like when you have a bad hair day, Jared?
Yeah.
On the set there of Supernatural. Also, Star Trek The Next Generation star LeVar Burton got into a Twitter war with people after he tweeted... let me find his real quick here. Oh, yeah. "Damn, Philip Seymour Hoffman was so talented. However, if y'all should find me dead with a needle in my arm in my underwear, please put my pants on."
Too soon.
Too soon. A lot of people said that wasn't cool. He said, "Not cool is shooting up when you have kids."
Here we go.
Some said you should educate yourself about addiction. "I know about addiction," he tweeted back. "Lash out at me if you want to. I ain't going out like that," said LeVar Burton. "No, you'll go out backstage at a Comic-Con convention clutching a Sharpie and a bunch of 8x10s that you get $20 a pop for. Shut up." Ugh, people. I don't like them for the most part. Another great actor passed away, though it was overshadowed by the passing of Philip Seymour Hoffman. Austrian-born actor Maximilian Schell, another Oscar winner, passed away after a sudden and serious illness. He was 83 years old. Picked up his Oscar for his role as the defense attorney in Judgment at Nuremberg, classic film from 1961. But he had done a bunch of great films, including The Odessa File, Bridge Too Far, Julie. A great actor. But a man who had a full and long life. So I guess it seems a little less tragic when, you know, yeah, you lose someone at 46 versus 83. You know, I love The Blacklist. I love James Spader on that show. Boy, is that a good TV series. Really enjoying it. Now I know Spader's secret.
What is it?
He cannot see anyone he ever works with.
Really? He's got that poor eyesight?
His eyesight is awful.
Really?
Needs glasses to see practically everything, but can't stand to wear contacts. So he films all of his scenes without being able to see much that his character sees because he won't wear his glasses. So everyone's just out of focus and everything's out of focus to him. I don't know how he gets around on the set.
That's so weird.
He is practically... he's practically blind out there, and it works to his advantage.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
You'd think, I don't know, have the character wear glasses or learn to suffer with the contacts. But I would think seeing would be an important part of doing a show like that, considering as much action and stuff is involved.
Yeah. Well, he is sitting in the dark about half the time.
True. He sits in a box a lot of the time, so maybe it's not such a big deal.
He spends half of every episode waiting in someone's house for them to come home.
That's true.
He is the best waiter in the business.
That's true.
He is.
Nobody waits better than he does.
Sits there next to a turntable, just playing a song, and then you walk in, and bad things are about to happen.
Hey, I don't know anything about contacts, but haven't they come a long way in recent years where they have them now that it's not like the old days where it was a hard piece of glass in your eyes. Now they're just barely there. You barely feel them, I thought.
You feel them. Even the best of them. You feel them.
Okay.
I was so relieved. Changed my life when I got the LASIK surgery and I didn't have to wear contacts anymore. Because no matter how breathable they are or the extended wear or whatever, it's still something that's on your eye.
Something on your eye. Yeah.
So is his not fixable? You ever have an eyelash in your eye?
Yeah.
You know how small and thin an eyelash is? Well, this is, 100 times the size of that. And it's just a pain in the ass. And I guess he figures, I'm just not going to do it. And it makes your eyes red and they get dry and they get tired. So I can see why he doesn't like them without...
I'm going to watch now
one
for
half the other. I'd rather
him,
see, I think.
Turning the wrong way while he's talking to people.
Talking to Harry Lennox, the black guy in the middle of the scene. Yes, Liz, you're looking quite beautiful today. Like,
hey, red, cut. Over here.
Cut. Hey, Kevin.
Yes.
It's Beatles week.
Yes.
Come on, buddy. Right. You on board? Woo!
I am not.
Beatles week.
Don't care.
David Letterman is dedicating the week to the Beatles. All the musical guests on the show all week long will perform songs by the Beatles.
Fantastic.
Broken Bells tonight. We'll be doing I Love Her. Sting tomorrow night. We'll do Drive My Car. Wednesday, Lenny Kravitz. We'll be performing a song. We don't know which one yet, but it'll be a Beatles song. Then Sean Lennon and the Flaming Lips will perform on Thursday, doing Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. And then they say Friday will be a surprise. Some people speculating that Paul and Ringo will team up for something on Letterman on Friday.
Oh, I hope they do that stupid little Jack song or whatever it is he has. Queenie, Queenie Pie, who's got the pie?
Queenie Eye.
Does that.
Who's got the ball?
Yeah, that one.
I haven't got it. It isn't in my pocket.
that's real.
O-U-T spells out. And that's out.
Those are actual lyrics.
Yes.
Wow.
And it's deep, man. When you if you look a little bit deeper, you'll see the meaning of it all right there. Man.
Nope.
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
This is the last week for Jay Leno's Tonight Show this time around, too, by the way. Till he comes back.
Gonna miss that. Gonna miss that show.
I watched that 60 Minutes interview finally. I caught it up with it over the weekend. And the one thing that he did say that sounded different this time around than when Conan took over is that Jimmy Fallon is a completely different kind of show. And I think Jay Leno is an old man, looks at Jimmy Fallon doing his little skits with Justin Timberlake and all of his little musical acts he does and all the rapping and everything. And he goes, well, that's not me. If that's what America wants, I'm too old for this game. And I think that's the difference this time. And I think he will go away and not come back.
He didn't look that way the first time?
No.
Conan?
The first time Conan
wasn't doing his kind of stuff.
Him doing a very similar show to him and not as well as Jay did.
But I don't think Leno thinks that America doesn't want what he does still.
And I think he knows
the numbers and the ratings were always strong.
Yeah, he's number one, absolutely. But I think this time around the impression I got was it's very different because he sees Fallon doing a completely different show. And I think that makes it easier for him to step aside rather than somebody coming in who he's doing similar than he doesn't think is as good.
I'd like to see Fallon's deal, wouldn't you guys? Just the details.
Yeah.
Jay starts lurking.
Just an ironclad, lockdown, no Jay clause has to be buried in there somewhere, right?
Jay's not even allowed to watch NBC anymore after this.
I think Jay feels that... I think that's what he feels.
It's hard to argue that.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Blythe Danner, very talented and lovely actress. Who gave birth to a succubus of a woman. Just a hideous, gloop-filled, just Vespa-driving horror. 71 years old today. Morgan Fairchild is 46 years old. Thomas Calabro celebrates his 55th birthday. Maura Tierney is 49 years old. Isla Fisher celebrates her 38th birthday. Rebel Wilson is 28. Sean Kingston is 24. And Nathan Lane, it turns out, is 58 years old today.
Ah, not 38.
Not nearly
more like
38
it.
That Dave the King of Mexico would have me believe for the first part of today's show. So now we know.
What's up?
Yeah, what's up indeed. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. That's the new one from U2 called Invisible. If you can download it today, you can do it for free.
Nice.
How about that? Bank of America is donating $1 to the Red Charity for every download, up to $2 million. I like that song so much, and I was surprised to see yesterday that Bono said that's not even the first single from the album. They're just putting it out there now to let people know they're still existing, that U2 is still a band. But there's going to be a real official first single in a couple of months from the new U2 album. So it sounds like they've got some pretty good music up their sleeves. And that other song that was nominated for an Oscar, that one from the Mandela movie, yeah, that was a good song, too. Yeah. So they still sound real good. Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock for a Monday morning. I read a story a couple of weeks ago about a woman in a cab in New York City who found Jennifer Lawrence's iPhone. And she, you know, looked through the phone, saw who it was, went, oh, my God, and basically called a number on it and said, hey, I have your phone. And they arranged for her to come by and meet Jennifer Lawrence and give her phone back. And I thought that makes a lot of sense that that's the way that would go down, because who wouldn't want their phone back if somebody's kind enough to go to the effort to try to return it, right?
Well, it certainly does seem like a lot of people would just not bother with that. They would just take it.
And that's a lot of work.
Keep it for themselves or whatever. You know.
Right. That's why I'm so surprised to see what happened to this Kevin and Bean listener who contacted us about something from a celebrity that he found and how much trouble he's had trying to give it back. Hi, Jesse. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir.
Good morning, you guys. How are you?
Good. Thanks.
Well, we're doing fine. Tell me how you intersected paths with Justin Bieber.
Well, kind of to make a long story short, he was doing his show at the Staples Center about a year and a half, 2 years ago back. And my friend was working security, and he asked me, hey, I'm working security for the Beeb show tonight. Do you want to come? And I'm like, hey, why not? So I go there, and Justin's doing his meet and greet. And as soon as he walks in, I mean, you can only imagine how much people start pushing, and it gets out of control. And he jumps up, like, on a bench and tells everybody to stop pushing. And as he jumps, I see something kind of just fall behind the bench. And didn't really think much of it or anything. And he gets out of there real quick. They clear out the room, and I go behind the bench, and I pick it up, and lo and behold, it's his wallet.
Justin Bieber's wallet.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's his wallet with his driver's license and his ATM cards and whatnot.
How much cash? How many drugs?
There was zero cash in it.
All right.
And the drugs, I don't quite know.
Have been used.
All right. So you're not working security, but your friend is. So can you use him as the proper back channels to get to Justin's people and get the wallet back to him, or no?
Well, the first thing that he says to me is, he goes, don't turn it in because somebody will steal it here, which is real professional. But so I just kind of laughed about it. And then the very next day, my friend posted on his manager's Facebook and on his Facebook, hey, we found a little yellow wallet, and I'm pretty sure it belongs to one of you guys.
He had a little yellow wallet.
Yeah, I'm surprised it wasn't Hello Kitty.
Let's not push through that.
It's some kind of gold snakeskin-looking thing.
Sure.
So, so he tells them on Facebook, and they block him on Facebook. And I was like, wow, that's really strange. So fast forward a few months later, I'm in Hollywood, and I see that ridiculous car that he drives sitting outside of a club.
Right.
And I only live about 14 miles away from there, so I went up and told his security, hey, I have his wallet, and I can go home and get it for him right now if he wants it back, and you let him know that I have it. And I stand there, and I wait about 20 minutes or so. Nobody says anything. So I ask the security guard again, and then he gets real confrontational with me, and he, like, grabs me and tells me, do whatever you want with it. I don't care. But you need to leave. And I just said, okay, I'll leave.
This is so crazy. I mean, look, we all know. Look, I lost my wallet one time. Having to get all those credit cards again, having to get my driver's license taken again. I mean, all that stuff is a pain in the butt. You would think that would be the case for Bieber, too, right?
Right. You would figure.
He probably has people that just do all that. Maybe he already had a replacement. But what did you say? A couple months? Yeah.
I wonder why I wonder why somebody that you encountered, either your friend through the Facebook page or you in person at the club, wouldn't say, hey, I'll take it and give it to him. Thanks for trying or something. You know, why would they be so rude to you? That's what I don't get.
Yeah, and that was it. I was just trying to give it back to him. I mean, I know how it feels to lose something. And it's just a terrible, terrible feeling.
So, Jesse, whatever ended up happening, and how much did you get for it on eBay?
It is actually sitting in a drawer in my house right now, and it sits there.
You going to frame it?
You should sell it. You should.
I was I was always just under the impression that I would just give it back to him. I was like, maybe I'll run into him one day and I'll just let him know. And
you're a very slow learner.
He doesn't want it.
Jesse, I mean, honestly, you've pretty much given it a good go.
Yeah, you've done way more than you should have, that's for sure. You know, our own Rodney Bingenheimer, who works Sunday nights here on K-Rock, K-Rock legend, has been on the station since the 70s. He ended up with Elvis Presley's driver's license at a club in the 1970s once, and I think he might still have it. I think that might be something he still hangs on to. Who knows? Maybe it's a piece of, you know, depending on what happens with Bieber, maybe it's something that you hang on to and we'll laugh about it in 30 years.
Maybe Rodney would like to make a trade with me then, because I wouldn't mind having Elvis's.
Sure. Yeah, way better deal. They're about equal in value. Well, yeah. Jesse, you are a very, very nice man. You certainly went above and beyond the call of duty to try to get that wallet back. I'm sorry it didn't work out. It sounds like a real pain in the ass for you, but thank you for sharing your story with us.
No, anytime, guys, anytime.
We'll see you on eBay. So, cow porn on yesterday's Super Bowl with that commercial. How is that family friendly, by the way? Hey, kids, look, watch this bull pick out which cow he's going to have sex with next. It's kind of crazy. Kevin Beach on the day after the Super Bowl, everybody talking about the commercials. There's one in particular that has upset a lot of people. It wasn't this one from Bud Light.
Bud Light, the perfect beer for when Don Cheadle, a llama named Lily, and the identical twin of the girl you just met take you to a party where you defeat Arnold Schwarzenegger in a sudden death ping pong match that puts you on stage with One Republic.
That was an oddball spot, wasn't it?
It was. Joe Schmo 3.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was.
Right. The one that people are talking about was Coca-Cola. Now, Kevin, it sounded like you were not aware of this controversy.
Not at all.
When you came in, you were a little bit surprised because you saw this spot and enjoyed it, right?
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Tell people what it was for those who didn't see it.
Well, it's basically a bunch of different people singing America the Beautiful and in different languages.
Mm-hmm. So kind of a nod to...
I don't think they have anyone in the commercial singing America the Beautiful, though. I think you hear the singing going on, and then they show various scenes of all sorts of things going on in America. Just people getting together and playing games and having fun and driving and walking and just, you know, being young and in love and just all the stuff that Americans do with their free time. But it's the soundtrack to it that has really upset a lot of people. You mentioned America the Beautiful. It's sung in seven languages in the spot. I think Hebrew is one of them. I think Spanish is one of them. The Philippine language, Tagalog, is one of the languages. Here's a little bit of the spot.
God shed his grace on thee. Or bahi jare ke saath taaj tera cha. Dula mera la mer priya.
Where's the hate?
That's really beautiful. It's like a nod to the melting pot, right?
Let's take a look at some of the tweets that came in with the hashtag FCoke. And no, they didn't use the letter F.
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
Let's find out what people are upset about. F Coke is the hashtag. Kyle Odia writes, "This is effing America." That's his whole thing. Louis DiCio writes, "Always liked Pepsi anyway. F Coke hashtag America." Andrew Riccardi writes, "That Coke commercial where they have the national anthem song in different languages is disrespectful. Speak English. F Coke. I will have Pepsi." Jacob Youngblood writes, "I'm sorry, you can't sing about America in other languages. That's just un-American. F Coke."
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
What does that even mean? F you Coke. This is from Nick. "F you Coke for trying to diversify my country. Tis of thee, effing speak English and be normal."
Wow.
Are any of the people that you've read over 10?
Difficult to tell. Mm. On Twitter, who knows? Stoyer11 writes, "How dare you sing America in different languages? F Coca-Cola. That's so disrespectful. Hashtag F Coke." The old legend. "What's up with Coke? You live in America. English is your first and second language. Keep it in your house, people. F Coke."
Keep it in your house.
Don't you dare say anything foreign outside your house. I will have it.
Why are people... this is a serious question, not a rhetorical question. Please help me understand it. Why would people be so upset to hear a song in a commercial sung in other languages or to hear other languages spoken in America?
I don't know the answer to either of those. I was shocked to hear that.
The thing you can think is that they don't like them foreigners.
Yeah, they're just... Yeah, they're just those people.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
That's not them.
It's not American. I don't like it.
I don't know. I thought it was a beautiful spot. I thought it was cool. I liked it. I'd love to hear from
any of our Kevin and Bean listeners, seriously, who had a problem with the commercial, because I would love to have a better understanding on what hit so many people's buttons with this. And by the way, the number is 1-800-520-1067. I think we may be moving on in this country in that there was also two gay dads in the ad who were at a roller skating party with their daughter. I don't know if you caught that or not.
Did not.
Not nearly as much blowback against the gays as there was against the language. So I think that's a step in the right direction.
Well, I guess.
I guess. They both sound dumb to complain about. You know what I mean? Like, at what point? I don't know.
Leanne Gertrude tweets, sing in English, goddammit, F code. let's do some more while we have some calls coming in at 1-800-520-1067. Allison Kreutz writes, it's God Bless America, not Mexico, so sing in English, F Coke. I mean, it just goes on and on. Mitzi writes, sing it in English, you pricks, F Coke. Considering that our Constitution is in English, I would appreciate our patriotic songs be the same, F Coke, says Train 48. What does that even mean?
I really don't get any of this. I don't get it.
One of my favorites, and I assumed that this was meant ironically, is this is America, not some diverse melting pot founded by immigrants. F Coke.
That's somebody being funny.
I think that's somebody being funny. I hope so. Let's take one call real quick if we have time for Chris before the break. He's on line four, and then we'll get to some more calls in a moment at 1-800-520-1067. I really do want you to call and tell us if you are upset and why, because I really am trying to understand this. Hi, Chris. Thanks for calling.
Hey. Yeah, I saw that commercial, and that was just it was disturbing.
Why?
I mean, Middle Eastern country singing about the, you know, whatever, American anthem. That's...
But those are people. I mean, don't you think they're representing people who have come here in, it could be in the last 200 years. I mean, it isn't yesterday necessarily, but who love this country and live here now.
We got Spanish people, Mexican people singing and American.
We got them, yes.
Oh, wait. But Chris, let me just ask you.
It's too much. Come on.
What?
It's too much. Look, it's too much. Come on.
It's too much. Come on.
Come on.
Does it not make it almost more beautiful if people are singing about how great America is in their language?
No, I'm pretty sure even other countries were like, yeah, no, we're not singing the national anthem.
No one forced them to.
It's not even the national anthem. Do you even know that much?
Well, I'm just saying, it was bogus. I saw it and I was like, nah.
All right. Okay, Chris, it's...
saw it and he was like, nah.
What are you afraid of if somebody sings America the Beautiful in Chinese? Why is that a negative in your life, Chris? Why does it represent something going wrong in America?
I'm pretty sure Chinese people are not singing America the Beautiful. Like, yeah, come on. No, I mean, people in Mexico are not going.
You're missing the point.
Chris,
there are a lot of people who live in the United States that are from China, that are from Mexico.
But they're singing it in English.
Okay, all right.
But they're singing it.
Good chat. I'm happy.
Okay, thank you, Chris. I appreciate the call.
Chris may be representative.
Maybe not. Maybe Chris wasn't the guy to speak for the people who do have a legitimate problem with the Coke ad, and those are the ones that we want to talk to next. 1-800-520-1067. What's up, people? We'll talk to you next on the World Famous K-Rock. Speaking of music, this is a little bit more of the soundtrack to the Coca-Cola ad that aired during the Super Bowl yesterday that has gotten a lot of people upset, and we're going to talk to some of them right after we hear this.
Beautiful for spacious skies, por tus olas de granos tambar, your peaching nuts are coaty, so he baba na manga brutas, America.
All right, first things first, it's not the national anthem.
Right.
So don't call it that.
Second thing, the man who wrote the song, Irving Berlin, was not born in America. So let's keep that in mind as well. But F Coke, without the word F, using the real word, was the big hashtag on Twitter yesterday after this ad read from so many people who were so upset. And we seriously wanted to talk to some people, find out what's up. So let's get to our calls at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Kathy? Kathy's on line five. She'll get us going here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. You know, I think for me it was about no one wants to assimilate into America anymore. They come to our country. They want all the benefits, but they don't want to speak our language. And it used to be, you know, like when my grandparents came here, they would come to America. They were excited to, you know, to learn the language and to become part of this whole community that is America.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And now, you know, everyone wants to come, but they want to come and be their own little, you know, little China or little Mexico or whatever it is. And if that's the case, then they're not really part of America.
I hear what you're saying, but you got all of that from people singing America the Beautiful in a commercial? All of a sudden, these people are not wanting to assimilate because they still use their native language?
No, I think that's my button that it pushed, was because this has been, you know, it all goes back to the press one for English thing, you know?
I don't know. To me, they are honoring people like your grandparents, maybe when they first got here, but it's just a nice way of nodding to all the different people who have come to this country over the many, many years.
Well, you know, you make a good point as well, but my first instinct was I looked at my husband and I said, this is BS. I didn't use that word. I used the real word.
Sure, sure. That's how you roll.
Now, will this make a difference in whether you buy Coke or not, Kathy?
Not. I love Coke, and I'm not a Pepsi fan. I'm going to keep buying Coke, but it did piss me off.
All right. I thank you for the call very much. A lot of people were saying yesterday, by the way, that the joke is on the racists who were tweeting against Coke because now they all have to drink Pepsi, and that's no good. But that was funny. All right. Where do you want to go to next? Man, we got so many calls, so limited language. How about Frank? Let's try Frank. He's on line 8. He's up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Frank.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi.
You got angry?
Yeah, you know what? I don't know. I mean, I have nothing against I really understand what Coke was trying to do. You know, it's like, hey, we're all in America. It was founded on diversity.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I mean, you don't go and try and do, you know, color the flag, the American flag in Jamaican colors. Like, you don't do that.
Right, but this wasn't the American flag.
Right.
As much as it was America the Beautiful.
Right. Well, then that's what I mean. It's like you don't fit in other languages. I mean,
it's not more beautiful because it's sung in other languages?
No. I mean,
okay.
It's an American, it's like an American icon. You just
right.
change it to different languages or different, you know, countries.
Frank, I'm going to buy an extra Coke for you today now.
So Coke is saying America is beautiful because of its diversity. You are saying it's beautiful despite its diversity?
Not necessarily, but it's just you don't go changing something that it was meant to be American, you know. It's like that's why every country has its own theme,
and stick to that.
Like, yeah, and that's it. You just don't change it. Like I said, you don't go, you know, doing changing other countries, you know, their songs. We don't go singing it in American, you know, in
because
English.
Because other countries aren't founded on diversity. That's why, because other countries aren't great melting pot. Some are, by the way. Countries like England certainly have as many, you know, a higher percentage of immigrants than we do either. But I mean, that's America's deal, is we're here for everybody around the world to come to move, to live in the best country on earth and have the, you know, and have a great life. That's what we're all about.
But fewer now. I mean, it can slow down now, right?
Well, like Frank says, if it ain't white, it ain't right. I mean,
Frank didn't say that at all.
No, I heard him say that.
He didn't say that.
Thank you for the call, Frank. Appreciate that. Here's my favorite comment of all the things that I read yesterday about the Coke commercial. Hey, like it matters. With Barack Hussein Obama in the White House, we'll all be speaking Muslim within a few years anyway.
Yes!
USA! USA! USA!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
Ralph Garman is here. Yeah. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And then right after the top of the hour, don't forget, we're going to get you on the standby boarding list for Arcade Fire in Rome, Italy. It's destination number one of K-Rock's World Tour 2014. That is coming up. What's it going on, Ralph?
What was your favorite commercial from the Super Bowl? You obviously didn't like the communist Coca-Cola one.
I love that one.
You know, you hated it, obviously, because it was communist. It was the terrorist winning.
Sure. You know, my favorite was one that was released last week, was the Budweiser one with the puppies. Oh, the puppies
it.
And the horse.
Stop it.
That was a great ad.
Science fiction ad. Never happens.
I love the
puppy. Why was it science fiction? What
puppy
do you mean?
Doesn't care about the horse. Horse doesn't care about the puppy.
Animals bond, Ralph.
Horse,
you know that.
Horse would gladly step on the puppy, given the chance. And the puppy would get in the car and just go away with the person who's feeding
the
treats.
Puppy was very sad whenever he was taken away from the horse.
Not fiction. Fiction.
I like the guy driving the truck with the bull that is going to take it to get some cow
it.
Cow wreckage.
Bull just want to keep banging in the wilderness.
I liked it.
Ridiculous.
Now, Ralph, are you trying to get us to say the Radio Shack ad with Hulk Hogan and Eric Estrada and all those guys in it, maybe?
No, but I didn't even know that existed.
No, it did. Snyder, yeah.
The 80s one, sir.
I might change my mind.
Storeback. What do you like?
I loved the Doritos ad where the guy goes into the cardboard box.
Time machine was awesome.
The kid makes him give him the whole bag of Doritos. And he comes out, the old man, get off my lawn.
That was awesome.
Danny, you're so old. Come on. I laughed hard at that commercial.
That was good.
That was very
clever.
Funny.
Well done. Well written. Funny, funny, funny spot. Made me eat a bunch of Doritos.
What'd you think of one we haven't talked about at all with the Bruce Willis commercial for the insurance? What'd you think of that one?
Him hugging the Portlandia guy?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't.
Fred Armisen, yeah.
I didn't. It was lost on me. I was like, this is odd and strange. Stop it. But there's some good commercials, I thought, overall. I didn't watch a lot of them. Halftime usually is.
Yeah.
It was cigars on the porches for me at halftime. But
cigars, really?
Cigars on the porch.
You're a cigar guy on the porch guy.
Once in a while, I like a nice cigar.
How about that?
I had some friends over, had some good cigars.
It's going to surprise you. I had ice cream.
Well, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Oh, all right.
Did you smear it on the walls?
Now, Kevin, I was in somebody else's house.
Let it go. Wow, well, that stuff.
How dare you?
Kevin, you got invited to Ralph's Super Bowl party, though, right?
It wasn't a party. I had a couple friends
Well,
over,
you said you had some people over.
I had some friends that were in from out of town, and we just all watched it together.
Okay.
It wasn't a party.
This is
Why are you laughing,
this
Kevin?
Is Bean the Martyr.
If Bean invites like because two people, it's a party, and now it's stress and pressure.
It's Bean trying to be an instigator, trying to cause trouble.
That's what he does.
No,
that's
I was
what
just
we're
curious.
Not buying. We're not buying it. It was so funny. Surprise. Bean crying this morning, by the way. No one supported me. My team was in the Super Bowl, and you guys didn't support me. And I hardly get much love to everyone else.
Said it like that. But
I get no love from anyone. Who revels more in rubbing salt into the wounds of people when their team loses on this show other than Bean? Nobody relishes the opportunity to smack someone when they're down more than Bean when it comes to football.
All I was saying, and I repeat again, is if I didn't have a team in the game and you guys did, I would root for your team out of comradeship for the show. That's all I'm saying. That's the only thing I said is I would have supported your teams had they been playing the Super Bowl and mine wasn't.
It's the only thing you lied. You didn't really say it. It's the only thing you lied.
By the way, this was
all season long. I come in and if I'm not playing against the Falcons or the Cardinals or the Dolphins, to a man, when I come in after a weekend of football, if I've suffered a bad beat, Kevin will be like, dude, I'm sorry. I was rooting for you, man. I'm sorry to feel that way. And Dave's like, oh, if there wasn't that one play, you guys could have won. And Chip's always so nice. And then I'll come in here for showbiz being like, the Eagles just get another touchdown scored on them? Every Monday I live with that. Monday.
That is true.
How
dare you?
So all of a sudden now we're all comradeship. Oh, camaraderie. We're all just a rally around the 12th man flag and hoist it high for our beloved Buddy Bean, who's always there for our teams.
Always, I do like the fact that he's making up words like I do, though. That's
good. It won't surprise you guys, and I wonder how many listeners had this experience. I watched the Super Bowl by myself yesterday. I was alone.
Well,
I was the whole thing. I was the whole room.
Rightly so.
Yeah, that would have been a bummer.
I mean, I was high-fiving air.
You have nobody to celebrate with.
Right.
That's sad.
It was weird. It was a weird experience.
Mm. Maybe you should just step back and take a look, man. What does that mean?
This is what I've become.
Look at the whole big picture and say, oh, what was this a development from? What seeds did I sow that I reap this crop?
Have you ever watched a Super Bowl by yourself in your entire life?
No, sir. That has never happened to me in my life.
Yeah, it's happened to me a few times.
Well, there you
go. It's happened to you every year, let's be honest.
What else do you need to know?
Not even my wife and our team was in the freaking game. Not even my wife would stay home to watch it.
Hmm.
Oh, I got a thing I got to do.
Sad news over the weekend. Of course, Philip Seymour Hoffman passed away. Tremendously talented actor, won an Academy Award in 2005 for his portrayal of Truman Capote, was found dead yesterday in his Manhattan apartment at the age of only 46. Friends went to check on him because he hadn't shown up to pick up his kids, and that's when they found him, and according to some reports, found him with
a needle actually in his arm. Heroin addiction suspected to be the cause of his death with a drug overdose. Just quickly, if you're not familiar with his work or if that's possible, films like Doubt, Moneyball, The Master, Elite Quartet, Hunger Games even. He did everything from pop culture, big budget things to small independent releases, Boogie Nights, Mission Impossible, just you name it. Ran the gamut and was always excellent in everything he did. And by all accounts of people who knew him and worked with him, was a good guy who just struggled like so many do with this horrible, horrible affliction that is addiction. So sad news. Over the weekend, the box office was lackluster, which is often the case on Super Bowl weekend. But here are your top 10 movies at the box office. Ride Along, still up at the number one slot, $12.3 million. Frozen was second. That Awkward Moment, the new Zac Efron film, came in at number three. The Nut Job and Lone Survivor was fifth. Then Jack Ryan's Shadow Recruit, Labor Day, the new Kate Winslet drama, just seventh on the list with $5.3 million. American Hustle, The Wolf of Wall Street, and I, Frankenstein, rounding out the top 10 at the box office.
You want to see that again, Kevin? I, Frankenstein?
I did not.
It was full of good and loud. The slow had flying animals that were demons.
Had a busy weekend. No time for movies.
What'd you do Saturday? What'd you do Saturday afternoon? Do you remember what you were doing Saturday afternoon?
Saturday afternoon?
Yeah.
Late afternoon, like 5-ish?
Yeah, around that.
Coming home from an event.
An event? Yeah. Any particular event?
Went to a thing.
Any event that was particularly caught your attention?
It was a...
From like 1 to 5. Anything happened in that span? In the
1
the,
to 5.
In the afternoon.
1 to 5. Hockey.
Oh, you went to see a hockey game.
I went to see sort of a hockey game. I saw the Philadelphia Flyers.
Oh.
Kings could not score.
Yeah.
That was a bummer.
Not for lack of trying, though. They had a lot of shots on goal.
A lot.
Yeah.
Your goalie, there's something wrong.
Mason played out of his head.
There's something wrong.
He really kept
it. There's no possible way to keep all those out. Yeah. You know, when it starts to get into just billiards, just balls, just things banging everywhere, something's going to go in the net at some point.
Nope. It was otherworldly.
It's some BS.
Can I ask you a question as a longtime Kings fan, Kevin? And I only go to the games occasionally because usually it's only when my beloved Philadelphia Flyers are in town.
Yes.
The lion with the drum, that's got to be stopped, right? Got to put a stop to that, right?
It's the mascot.
Yeah, I understand that. There's a guy in a lion suit who bangs a drum. What's anything more annoying ever in the history of sports than that guy? Not since the Zuzubas or whatever the hell those things were in the World Cup.
The Vuvuzelas? Yeah,
whatever. That freaking lion with the drum.
The drum, the first hit of that drum every time gives me a heart attack.
Everybody.
Time, every single
It's
time.
A nightmare.
And it happens every game.
I know.
And it's exciting.
No, it's not.
It is.
It's super annoying.
Oh, you get used to it. It's exciting.
Stop the drummer lion.
It still stops my heart every time he bangs it, especially
you
if he's
a gun
in your
shot.
Area.
You
yeah.
think someone shot you.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then this dumb lion keeps hitting the drum. Everyone hates him, even Kings fans.
No, it's just not true.
Everyone hates him.
You won
just
the game.
Just let it go.
You won the game. Take it easy.
I'm just saying, that freaking lion with the drum. How about the poor Flyers fan? They kept putting up on the Jumbotron so whoever could just boo him. Guy sitting by himself in
that
a Flyers
jersey.
That
was the best.
I wept for him.
Yeah.
All right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Blythe Danner, 71 years old today. Morgan Fairchild is 64 years old today. I believe I accidentally said 46 last report.
Ah.
A lot of people were quick to jump on that on Twitter and email.
Well, you're listexic.
That's right. Thomas Calabro is 55 years old today. Maura Tierney is 49. Nathan Lane, 58 years old. Isla Fisher, the lovely and talented, is 38. Rebel Wilson turns 28 years old today. And Sean Kingston is 24. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
What a fun band that group Love is, by the way. I like them so much. And another great band to see live is Arcade Fire. They're going to be in Rome, Italy, don't you know? It's destination number one of K-Rock's World Tour 2014. We're going to give you a chance to qualify for that in less than 5 minutes from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Who's calling us here?
This would be Mole is on the line. Hey, Mole.
Hey, Kevin Bean. Hey, Lisa May. Hey, Ralph the Duck. You know who it is?
Yes, we said it's Mole's on the phone. Hey, Mole. We said hello. Yeah.
3-year Pro Bowler, Mole. Pro Bowl. Bowl, like bowl of weed, bowl.
I see. Sure.
Hey, I
how you doing, Bowl?
I can't go to Rome with those tickets because of the whole Amanda Knox thing.
What do you have to do with the Amanda Knox trial?
There's the whole Rome thing. My lawyer told me not to talk about it. Hey, you guys, I know it's early, but you guys on your way over here to the party?
To which party?
To the only Super Bowl party you need to go to. My party, Super Bowl day. Let's rock this thing.
You're having a Super Bowl party today after the game, Mo?
No, it's... Wait, No, it's today. The game. The game. We're going to watch the game in my place.
Well, no, the game actually took place yesterday, and most of us watched it.
Hold on. Yeah, I wrote this down. I wrote it down on a rolling paper. Okay, hold on. Oh, wait a second. Bad place to write a note.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Wait. Whoa, Nelly Furtado, a second. If it's not Super Bowl, it's not Sunday, then why are you guys doing a show? Explain that.
We're never on Sundays.
Okay, you know what? I think here's why there's some confusion.
Okay, good.
Okay, I stayed up late Saturday night prepping the party. I cut some crudité. I packed the vaporizers. I sampled the vaporizers.
Ah.
I packed them again. Uh-huh. I retested. You know, you get the idea. I made my football concussion punch.
Okay, good.
That's good. Mountain Dew Code Red and some antipsychotics that I crushed with my shoe. So I sampled that. I remade it. I sampled that. You get the idea.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then I hit the hay for a couple few hours, and boom.
And now you just woke up?
There's still time to get my bets in.
What we're saying is you slept through Sunday. If you went to bed Saturday night, you woke up, you thought today was Sunday. It's actually Monday. You missed the entire day and the game.
You know what I think? I think we still have the party. I'll grab my Pomeranian, Mr. Sticky. You guys pick up a couple of strays on the way over. We can throw a puppy bowl.
All right.
Ralph the cop can smoke cigars on the porch with his cop buddy.
Right. I like it. Look, am I in for a puppy party at Moles? Absolutely, I'm in.
I still have most of my 70-layer dip left.
Oh. Wait, from last weekend?
I'm still making this cheese, sour cream, refried beans, jerky, honey nut Cheerios, Tommy John surgery,
right?
Lance Henriksen, Bisquick, Bison, Philly Barty, Bourbon, Barbecue Barbiturates, Bindy Irwin. Lots of stuff going in it.
Yeah. You keep working on that, and we'll meet you later at that time.
Let's go burn stuff in the street.
Okay. Deal. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:34.
This is actually my first time rocking the stash in full form.
I like it.
Usually it's like a little patchy, yeah, the spots totally missing, but like now I get to kind of rock it.
Well, I can't wait till it's like just humongous, just like a paintbrush.
Yeah, totally. The trick to that is you keep shaving. Just shave. Shave one day, and then the next day you shave again, and then maybe like... You could shave three times the other day.
In one day?
Yep.
I like it.
Who did you find, Beer Mug, that had that much time to listen to you talk about your facial hair?
The dude from Cage the Elephant.
That's who that was? Poor guy.
You couldn't hear him because he wasn't allowed to speak.
And everyone knows the key to growing a great mustache is to keep shaving every day. Because that's how you grow one.
Says the guy who can't grow one.
You have to stop shaving.
You don't know. Muggs knows.
I forgot he's the expert.
Take it easy. Ralph is here with a far superior mustache to anything that Muggs will ever have on his face, by the way, with another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday.
Now I got a fake lion mad at me. Thanks, Kevin.
I didn't do it.
There's a fake lion who's angry
you
at
you and
me
your
now.
Big mouth.
I didn't even know he has a name. Bailey, I guess, is the name
that
of
is
the,
his name,
of
yeah.
The mascot. Yeah, he's very upset with me.
Yeah.
There's a big Twitter war going on between me and Bailey.
They got beef?
Yeah, there's a picture of us 2 years ago.
Oh, with the cup?
Yeah. Reaching back in history, that's weird.
2 years is not history.
It's a little weak.
It's just barely.
It doesn't have much to do with this season.
It's barely ended.
But it doesn't have much to do with this season.
It's barely over that season.
But it really is.
It continues on.
It's 2 years over. Mm, that's how far over it
not
is.
Not to me.
Oh, well. The 1972 series isn't over for me.
I was reliving it in my mind Saturday while we were not scoring.
Your eyes, right? Listening to Bailey beat his drum in your ear.
Remember that? Yes, that was so sweet.
Right. I used to like the Kings fans. Now I'm getting a little sour. That's all I'm saying. Trust me, Kings fans, you don't want me as an enemy. You want to be just don't poke the bear. That's all I'm saying. Waking up. It was Super Bowl weekend. That means not a lot of people went to see the movies. But here's your top 10 at the box office. Anyway, Ride Along, $12.3 million made it number one this weekend again. Then Frozen, $9.3 million. That Awkward Moment, in its debut, $9 million, made it number three. The Nut Job was fourth. Lone Survivor was fifth. Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit, sixth. Labor Day. They should have released it on Labor Day, don't you think?
Well,
it's been a nice tie-in.
You
don't get many Labor Day movies.
That's true.
A lot of Christmas movies come out at Christmas time. A lot of summer movies come out in the summer season.
We need a Labor Day movie. We can watch every Labor Day. Make it a tradition.
Okay.
$5.3 million made the new Kate Winslet film number 7. American Hustle, The Wolf of Wall Street, and I, Frankenstein. 10th on the list. Congratulations to Owen Wilson. He just had another illegitimate child. Congratulations. People Magazine say his one-time bed buddy, Carolyn Lindquist, gave birth to his baby boy last Thursday. They allegedly hooked up while she was still married to a Beverly Hills plastic surgeon, but now they say they're just friends, which is what you do. You have a lot of kids with your friends, because that's the best thing for everybody involved, really. It's just to knock your friends up.
So how involved will Owen be in that kid's life, do you think?
Well, I'm sure the child will watch Wedding Crashers at some point.
Okay, so he'll get a chance to see his dad, right, at least.
Night at the museum. Like. I'm sure she'll point to the screen and she'll say, "That's Dad, honey."
Okay.
Oh, really? Okay. Tragic news over the weekend. We have to mention yet again Philip Seymour Hoffman passing away. Enormously talented actor. Died at the age of 46 yesterday when he was found dead in his Manhattan apartment by friends who went to check on him because he hadn't shown up to pick up his kids. Everything about this story is just horrible. He did suffer from addiction. Had kicked heroin 2 decades previous, but then started to slip back into substance abuse as of late, prescription drugs, and then apparently escalating back to heroin again. So, nothing good. Nothing good in that story, but he does leave behind an enormous body of work, and he made a lot of people happy. I just wish he could have found the same happiness in his own life. Also passed away, sad news, was the guy responsible for many of those Christmas specials we all grew up to watch as kids. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and The Year Without a Santa Claus and Santa Claus is Coming to Town, Frosty the Snowman, Arthur Rankin Jr. He and his partner Jules Bass made the famous Rankin Bass Production Company, all those stop-motion animation specials and a lot of animation, too, throughout the 60s and 70s. Passed away at the age of 98 in his home in Bermuda. So sounds like he was doing it right when it was all said and done. A lot of people still talking about the casting of Social Network star Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor in the upcoming Batman vs. Superman sequel. We just finally were able to heal the wound of Ben Affleck as Batman, and now they gave us Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor. I think Jesse's an excellent actor. I don't know if he's Lex Luthor, but I guess we'll have to wait and see. Look, it's not a boring casting move, that's for sure.
Nope.
Got a lot of people's interest.
Yeah. By the way, at some point, weren't you boycotting this movie anyway because of Ben Affleck as Batman? It sounded to me at some point that you weren't even going to go see it anyway.
Well, I was always going to see it. I would never say I wasn't going to see a superhero movie. That's just silly. But this wouldn't be my choice for casting.
Less than thrilled.
Less than thrilled.
Yeah.
It doesn't make me excited. But of course, I'll go see it. You want to live like Magnum P.I.? I know I do. That's why I'm growing the stash back. Well, now you can own Tom Selleck's pad in Hawaii.
Yay!
That he lived in while he was filming that series is up for sale. His Hawaiian estate.
Oh, his real house.
Yeah. This is Tom Selleck's real house in Hawaii. A 9,000 square foot mansion with a boathouse, tennis courts, separate bathhouse. Could be all yours for the low, low price of $15,750,000.
How far away from that is Louisville from that?
Ways. Be a ways from Louisville. The Ferrari should come with it, though, right? You should get that red Ferrari, the cool red Ferrari.
Absolutely. And the bald dude. What was his name?
Higgins.
Higgins.
Oh, Magnum. Just, it's, I would say, every episode. Oh,
how far is the festival from the Marriott Palm Desert, you know?
What festival, David? What festival are you referencing? We're talking about a mansion. Magnum P.I.'s mansion. Ooh, Magnum. Those dogs. Remember the Doberman Pinschers?
I don't remember anything about that show.
Magnum!
I know what you're talking about.
One of the great theme songs of all time.
Okay. I don't think I ever saw it.
What?
I don't think so. Says the guy who loves Hawaii Five-0.
What's wrong with you people? It was Magnum!
I know, but I didn't see it.
Say it again, it's not going to change.
All right, let me just try.
Try it.
It was Magnum! Damn!
No, still the same view.
Still haven't seen it. You know what? It turns out it takes to become a big star in this business. I'm finding out way too late. Need a giant Smokey the Bear hat. Pharrell Williams' giant crazy hat has made him the most popular celebrity on the internet.
Really?
Google searches for Pharrell Williams have grown 5,000%.
Yay!
Since he wore that hat at the Grammys. Also, a large jump in searches on all the search engines are the following phrases. Large fedoras. Large cowboy hats. Pharrell's hat. And ass hat. I made that last one up. But, yeah, he's the most popular search celebrity in the first quarter of 2014.
That's
so,
you know, I was thinking
about
Ralph,
the hat, people. Mm-hmm.
That Pharrell is one of these guys who's been on and produced dozens of hit records.
Huge
but
talent.
He wasn't like a big star, a big solo singing star for a lot of people. I think that Grammy appearance was great for him to kind of put his face with the voice on the Get Lucky track.
I'm
and now people
you.
Are like, oh, I like that dude.
It's the hat. That's
it is the hat.
A lot of people sang at the Grammys.
It's the hat.
Only
right.
one man wore that hat.
That's true.
Only one man lived. Only one man crawled inside that hat and lived in it. It's like a condo hat.
It was a big hat.
It was not a small hat.
It sure wasn't.
And Leonardo DiCaprio's in pain. According to Star Magazine, he did some of his own stunts for Wolf of Wall Street and apparently injured his back pretty severely, tumbling down some stairs. And because of the pain, he can't work out. And worst of all, friends say his love life is suffering.
Uh-oh.
Imagine being just knee-deep in Victoria's Secret models and you can't do anything about it. Oh, what a nightmare.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
That's right. That's what I said, Kevin. He's not faring well. He's not feeling well.
So who's picking up the slack for all those models that are going unfulfilled?
I think Owen Wilson.
Jonah Hill?
Owen Wilson hasn't knocked anybody up this week, so I'm going to see what he can do. Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Sean Kingston is 24 years old today. Rebel Wilson celebrates her 28th birthday. Isla Fisher, 38 years old today. She's great.
She is. She's Mrs. Borat, right?
I want to say...
I think so.
Yes.
In real life, yeah.
Or is Amy Adams? There's Amy Adams.
No, it's not Amy Adams.
Okay. Amy Adams married to John Krasinski, right?
No.
No.
Nope.
Oh.
That's Emily Blunt.
She's not married.
Okay. Isla Fisher's not married?
No.
Amy Adams isn't married. Oh.
But I think Isla is Sacha Baron Cohen.
Oh, yes, right. She is.
All right.
How do you guys feel like this is going?
Stop it. All of you.
Not confusing enough.
I feel like we're at the worst cocktail party ever.
Playing a game of celebrity. Nathan Lane's 58. Maura Tierney's 49. Thomas Calabro from Melrose Place. And the reboot, too. That guy hasn't aged a day, either. One of those people. Blech. Blech. It was like that freaking John Stamos in that yogurt commercial. That's what's that guy, 50 plus?
He's ridiculous.
Yes, yeah, least, he is. Yeah. He's over 50.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And Saget and Coulier get their sagging white asses out there. And just I wouldn't do a commercial with that guy if I was them. I'm not going to stand next to Stamos in a commercial. Suck. And Morgan Fairchild is 64 years old today. And actress Blythe Danner celebrates her 71st birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, B.J. Novak will join us. You know him from The Office. He's also written a book called One More Thing. We have comedian Bobby Slayton, the Pitbull of comedy.
That's right, Ellie Mae.
On the program tomorrow. And we have apparently Petros Papadakis.
Woohoo!
Scheduled to do the...
Why? Why is he scheduled?
The Bachelor.
El Bachelor.
Tomorrow morning on all-new show.
Juan Pablo.
Yeah.
El Bachelor.
Right.
El Bachelor.
No!
Juan Pablo.
No, that's correct.